Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on?
Nothing. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Good. Glad to hear it. Snowcone? Good in there?
Yeah.
No problems when you got home last night? Mom wasn't upset about content on the program? I didn't know if she ever listens or, you know. I still get that.
How was her boyfriend?
Nervousness.
Did he come over last night? Did you see him?
No.
Okay.
How often do you see him? You ever take him out?
Not that often.
Do you like the guy? Do you approve of him?
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Does he spend the night?
Sometimes.
Do you guys have breakfast in the morning? Does it make you feel uncomfortable?
No.
Is he successful?
Do you ever yell at him, you're not my dad?
No, we've been over all this.
You should do that. Well, are you sure? Because I feel like I remember. Well, just in case people didn't hear it the first time, do you ever yell that to him?
I do not.
Okay.
Do you think it in your head?
I do not.
Have you told him you love him?
I have not.
In like a teary emotional exchange?
No.
Has he ever seen you in your underwear?
No.
Have you ever seen him in his underwear?
No.
No?
Is he going to leave you anything in his will?
I hope.
Does he have a bunch of kids?
He's got a few.
You got new step siblings?
Including some that listen.
Nice.
Really?
Hey, now, shout out to the steps wolves.
Yeah. Do you ever hang out with them?
Step cones. I don't know what they are.
No. I mean, if we go on vacation.
You guys go on vacation together?
Well, like if the family goes on vacation, he usually comes.
Go on vacation. Oh, because they've got kids?
What?
Does he bring his kids? Like her kids and your kids? Like it's a Brady Bunch?
No.
Because they're older? Because the kids are older?
And they don't live with their parents.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, why are they going on vacation? But then I remember, it's because you've got little kids. Families do that, right? You've got a young son, and then you've got nieces, or a niece at least, right?
Yep.
How many nieces and nephews do you have?
Let's see, 2 nephews, 3 nieces.
Okay, so there's quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
And the family's pretty close, so if you guys go on vacation, it wouldn't be weird for all of you to go together. I think I did that when I was a kid. We went on vacation with my cousins, like when I was really little. My older brothers tell stories about doing that more often.
We never did it.
But it mostly happened before my time. But there was still a little bit. Like we went to Ocean City, Maryland with my cousins. And yeah, I think my older brothers did that a lot. But it's just weird to think because I don't think of my family as being a family where you hang out with extended family. But my older brothers spent a ton of time. Right. Like I was never close with many of my cousins or any of that stuff. We weren't tight growing up.
We had like 2 families. It was like the family that I grew up in and then my aunt and uncle.
Yeah.
And then they had a kid, and, you know, this is going to sound harsh, but then that kid died.
Yeah.
So yeah. Then it was just our family, my aunt and uncle.
It's one of the many crazy things, like when Laszlo and I met, and that we had all these weird things in common, you know, being obsessed with pantyhose is just the tip of the iceberg. We found out that our cousins died like at the exact same age. The
crazy,
same
right?
Same thing at the same age. Yeah, at the same, I think identically the same age. It's just craziness. But, and maybe that's a average age when kids die from it. I don't know. Just, the whole thing, I don't like to think about it.
No.
But all I was saying is I didn't spend a ton of time with my cousins. I had some cousins I spent a little bit of time with. My aunt, you know my Aunt Ruby, as you call her. That's not really her name.
Ruby.
But I did spend time with her, and so her kids, which, you know, all of my cousins are old enough to be my aunts and uncles.
Oh,
so
right.
They treated me like a nephew. So I'm close with them. Some of them listen. But anyhow, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. You're going to be stepdad. Has he proposed to your mom yet? Do you think there's a proposal on the horizon?
Nope. They're not getting married.
Why not?
They've said that?
They've already said that.
Why?
They don't want to.
Oh, because your mom would lose out on the disability? She can't get disability anymore? If she gets married, that's sometimes that happens.
Yeah, I mean, is it a money thing, or are they just like, you know, we don't want to do it,
no,
or
they just have a good thing going?
They don't want to ruin it.
No, they barely. I mean, they see each other like once a week.
Oh, so this is a very casual.
And how long have they been together?
Like 9 years.
Whoa,
9 years, once a week.
This
9 years,
dude
man.
Has got
perfect.
It figured out,
yeah,
man.
He got it.
Once a week, 9 years, and he's seen her once a week.
They would be together, but snow cones there.
Okay, but once a week.
But they see each other once a week. Well, he can't come over all the time.
That's not that often.
Kids
well,
got
he's got a place.
Son
they go to dinner. They could. There's things they could do.
I'm sure they do.
Well, he's saying
they're just like, do you want to go over? Well, he doesn't know when they go out to dinner and stuff.
Well,
he's like, do you want to come over? And he's like, oh, God. Oh, God.
Anyhow,
can we just do it in the car again?
That'll be the end of it, Snowcone. We're done. We're done asking about your future father, stepfather, whatever he is. I promise.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo, you like that, Snowcone? See, I turned it back on him.
Yeah. Snowcone likes that.
Yeah,
yeah. Bring
there
it back around on my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she doesn't have a boyfriend, so
yeah, well,
make fun of her for it.
You know, she does have someone whose feelings get hurt when she says she doesn't have a boyfriend. That's me.
I know who it is. I know who it is. That, and you said he has a short Yeah, I knew then. I knew then who it was. Anyhow, how's life, Laszlo?
I'm good.
Good. No problems with school, nothing exciting going on.
No.
The boys are good, healthy.
They seem to be.
And school is, it's only April.
Yeah,
I was thinking it's May. Like school's almost over, but it's really
it
not.
It is, though.
Like, I mean,
like
it'll
a
go
month and
fast.
A half, maybe.
Yeah, but it's longer than I thought. It's just so crazy that your kid's going to be a
birthday tomorrow.
Senior. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He's going to be, and
14,
I mean, that's
man.
Like official high school age now.
Yeah, I signed him up for driver's ed.
You sign up kids at 14 for driver's ed?
Man, I went through this with my oldest.
You've probably been through this with me before, and I just don't remember.
We did, because we're trying to figure out when you can drive and when you can't drive.
Oh, that's like, right, because Kansas,
goes,
they changed some things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so from what I understand, although, and I feel bad because I wouldn't let my oldest do it because it didn't make any sense and no one knew the rules, but apparently at 15, you can drive in Kansas to and from school and to and from work.
That's pretty awesome.
Right.
That's pretty awesome.
And my oldest kept telling me that, and I'm like, no, you can't. So then I finally went. I honestly went, and people have probably heard this story before, when he was 15, I went, well, I don't know. So things were so much easier when I grew up. And maybe that was everywhere. But there was no, like, 14 farmer's license. There was
I'd
none
heard
of that.
Of that, but it was really
there
for
was
farmers.
There was nothing in Detroit about you can drive when you're 15 to
I don't know if
a
it was
certain
real.
Place or anything. There was you took
you're
driver's ed.
You're 16.
When you turned 16, you got a license. You could drive wherever you want.
There and you didn't no have time. To take driver's ed, right? You didn't have to?
Yeah, you had to.
Oh, we didn't have to. It was just a thing you could do if you. They said it
not
might lower your insurance.
To.
But you needed to get a driver's permit. That was the rule that they came up with eventually, which was like, you have to have your driver's permit for 6 months. But before that, up into my early teens, maybe even when I turned 16, it was still the case. You didn't have to have any driver's ed or anything. You could go on your 16th birthday, take the written test, take the driving test.
Right.
And if you passed both, then you could get your driver's license.
Well,
right.
Maybe you didn't have to. I just went and took it. I know I went to driver's ed.
Did your school offer driver's ed?
It did, but nobody used it.
See, my school didn't offer it at all. They had like drunk driving.
Because I went to this place called like Wolverine.
Okay.
Wolverine driver's ed, and I just went there because everybody said, oh, they give you the answers. Yeah. And I heard, like, some kids' parents wouldn't pay for them to go to driver's ed, so they had to do it through school for free, and they're like, this teacher's just a jerk. You know what I mean? Like, he makes it hard. So I was like, well, just send me there.
Yeah, you. That sounds to me like you needed to take driver's ed then, which I don't think we had to do. But I can see Michigan having different
But there
rules,
was no like at, I think like even when you get like a certain age, now you're like 16, you can't drive past like 11 at
That's the thing that
like,
I've known. At least you've told me that's changed is like you're 16, it's not a full driver's license yet. You can't have more, right. You can't have passengers
anyways,
in the car.
I went
that
to the
Overland parents.
Park Police Department and I pulled out my kid's driver's license, right? He wasn't 16 yet.
Yeah.
And I gave it to the cop and I said, what would you do if you pulled me over with this? And he's like, what do you mean? And I go, well, it's not a full license. What would you do? And he's like, are you allowed to drive it? And he literally was like, I'm not sure.
You're right.
And I'm like, call it in.
Yeah.
I did. I'm like, call it in and see what
you're
they
lucky
say.
I didn't sue you guys a few years ago, so you owe me. Call it
so
in.
So he called it in and then somebody came back and they said, yeah, you're not allowed to drive.
Not allowed to drive.
Not allowed to drive without a parent in the car. So I was like, okay. So then, but then everybody else told me you can drive and everybody else was driving. So I'm like, I don't know. You know what? I'm not going to wait till he's 15. I'll just do it at 14. That way.
14 would be pretty sweet if you
then
can start driving.
I think he has to have it for a year and then he can drive to school.
Damn.
But I don't know how he's going to drive to school because I can't get him a car.
Yeah.
Not when he's 15.
Well, wait, you can't? You could. I mean, I bought a car when I was 14.
I don't know what that goddamn insurance would be if he had his own car.
I'm sure it's not good. Yeah, probably not good at all. But I hear Geico has good prices. So
right, you can drive my car, I guess.
Yeah, you share a car or whatever, but the insurance isn't going to. That's not going to change. Like insurance is going to be miserably high.
Sons,
and if you have to insure a 15-year-old, I can only imagine.
15-year-old and a 17-year-old.
We definitely could not drive. We could drive at 15 and a half with a parent in the car. That was your learner's permit. That's what it was. I got it the day I turned 15 and a half, but there was no driving to school or work or any of that
to work
before
and
that. And
or
once
church,
I was 16, it was a full
work,
license.
School, church. Work, I'm like, what about
school and church?
I'm like, what about practice? And I think they're like, yeah, practice is fine. I'm like, all right, I don't know.
So everything. Just say anything's a religion.
I think you just say I'm coming home from work at any time.
At any time. They're not going to look into it. They're not going to run a full case.
Where you
Let's
work.
Get some detectives out here.
At your mom's house.
Exactly.
The church. The church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. Well, it's time to do the news already. According to Snowcone, it's time to do the news already. We lost a legend today, man. Absolute legend. I'm sure you've heard the news by now.
I haven't.
Oh, you haven't?
Not that I know of.
I'm not.
Oh, maybe I did.
Sure. Yeah, you probably did.
Maybe I saw. I can't remember, though. Why can't I remember?
65 years old. Some people were calling him a Gen X icon. He had a reputation for being a little difficult to work with back in the day.
Oh, Val Kilmer.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes,
I remember it because what I noticed was that they put his great movies out and they didn't put Heat.
Oh, that's weird because I was watching something they did mention Heat.
They had I don't know, what the cowboy movie or whatever.
Tombstone.
Yeah, Tombstone and then something else. I was like, Heat.
Yeah.
What about Heat?
Yeah, the thing I
watched.
I watched
that the other day. It's still good, man.
It's great. I did too. I watched it like a month ago.
Yeah, me too.
I love
when
Michael Mann.
Standing
it's his best movie.
At the window and he pulls up to see her and she gives him that hand signal and he leaves. I'm like, man.
It's so good.
So good.
It's so good. It's
good
to
listen to. You know, I
read
something about that movie, Heat, too. You know, the legendary scene, Pacino, De Niro, when they're sitting down. The other one's not there.
I think I saw that.
They're not actually talking
like
to
one
each
of those
other. That's why you don't ever see their face at the same time. You see the back of their head. So they're doing that dialogue
different
with
days.
Nobody else there.
Yeah.
How good is that?
That's pretty
That's
crazy.
One of my favorite lines. I still use it sometimes if somebody threatens you with something, whatever. That line, there's a flip side to that coin.
Yeah.
That is such a good line.
It's a good movie. I mean, that's an understatement. It's one of my favorites. I think if you ask my oldest brother, he might say it's his favorite movie of all time.
It's up there with me.
I know he'd say Michael Mann's his favorite director. I'm almost positive of that. And I would say that's probably his best.
I don't know directors like you guys do. What else did Michael Mann do?
Well, he did Thief, which was, like one of the early ones. Yeah. And so that's like a classic thing. He did the original. He did the original Silence of the Lambs, not really Silence of the Lambs, but what was that called? What was his version? Manhunter, which kind of spawned, or it did spawn the whole CSI TV franchise, because it's the same guy that ended up doing the original CSIs. I mean, they're not all winners, He's made some duds. He's got some duds in there, but Heat is, I would say, pretty easily his best movie. And even if his movie is bad, it's usually still pretty cool to look at. Like, a lot of people don't like Manhunter. Am I saying that right? Manhunter?
I don't know.
I think it's Manhunter. I don't know why I'm getting stuck on this now. That's the sound.
Manhunter.
Manhunter. Thank you. People criticize that, but, and I get it. It's It's kind of slow paced or whatever.
Oh,
but
he
it just
did Collateral.
Looks so cool.
That was good.
Collateral. Collateral is one of the
Ali.
Great 90s ones. Ali was okay. Right?
I liked it.
But I do love Collateral. Collateral was great. And it's probably my, at least tied for my favorite Tom Cruise role. I love him in that. Yeah. And Jamie Foxx is good too, but I just watched Collateral again not that long ago as well. If you like Drive with Ryan Gosling, watch Thief. It's amazing how similar those two movies are. The opening sequence, the music, everything. It's just straight up Thief. Thief is a great movie.
That's
Snow
the
Cone,
one with
you've never
James
seen Thief?
Con, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snow Cone, you've never seen Thief, I'm guessing? I think you'd like it. Go back and watch that. I'm still getting over the fact that Snow Cone hasn't watched. I just always assumed Snow Cone was kind of a movie junkie because he does watch a lot of movies, and he's a music junkie. You know music. You know classic rock. You know modern rock. You know music stuff, and you at least give it a shot. You'll listen to it. You can almost be someone Shazam. If you hear something, you usually know what it is, and you know facts about what went on behind the scenes. I always thought you were the same way with movies for some reason. I didn't know that there were a lot of those big movies that you decided to skip, like Rocky, and I don't even remember what else we mentioned the other day, but I was thinking about Rocky yesterday.
It's not even skip. It's just I just haven't ever watched them. I don't know.
Well, right. Obviously, though, you don't have a huge desire to watch it, or you would have watched it by now,
yeah.
Right? If you're like, oh, I can't wait to see Rocky.
Yeah.
You've had
but,
plenty
I mean,
of time
to
watch it.
If someone's house and it was on, I want to, you know, leave or anything.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose, because you are sort of a film guy.
Movies.
You like Scorsese, and you can definitely find an actor that you like and then go back and watch. Maybe you just thought Rocky was like a sports, more of a sports boxing movie. It was more of a boxing movie. You didn't think of it as a...
I just kind of feel like I've seen enough clips and enough references. Like I feel like I've already seen it.
Yeah,
you know?
Don't do that. Well, watch Thief if you get a chance. But okay. we're talking about Val Kilmer, watch Heat. You've seen Heat, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That. Well, we should all just rewatch Heat anyway. Lazo just rewatched it. I watched it a month ago. Who cares?
I'm looking for his good for you know these movies, these Val Kilmer movies.
My favorite Val Kilmer movie, of course, is Tombstone.
Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang.
I mean, he was so good in Tombstone. I think it's the best Western.
Top Secret, Real Genius.
Those are funny. I liked those when I was a kid quite a bit. It's interesting how he started off doing comedies like that and then just went right into these kind of serious roles. I say serious. Maybe Batman wasn't that serious, but he did the Doors. What was it called? Was it called The Doors?
It was called The Doors.
And that was the one where Oliver Stone said, I won't work with them again, right?
Oh, did
wasn't
he?
That one of them? Well, and then I think who directed that Batman? Was it Schumacher? I don't remember which guy. I think it was that did that Batman Begin,
Forever.
Batman Forever. Is that the one he did?
I think so.
I think he said he didn't want to work with them. Marlon Brando said.
Joel Schumacher.
Schumacher.
Yeah.
Brando said, because they did Island of Dr. Moreau together, and I remember was a Brando quote where he said, I think Val Kilmer confuses the size of his paycheck with his ability to act. Something along those lines.
Well, those two, I mean.
Like, but then later, Val Kilmer came out and said, no, he was misquoted. We're great friends. Same with Schumacher and all that. So I'm sorry, dude, but there was a lot. You had a lot right there in a row, back to back to back. I remember when I was a kid.
Oh, he was in Deja Vu.
A bad press. Which one's Deja Vu?
I mean, it's not his movie, but it's
the Denzel movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Was he?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember that. He was in something a few years ago after he'd lost his voice and
None of us ever watched that Val documentary, did we?
I started it.
I
started it and
it was
kind of
I'm too much of a hypochondriac
to
watch that.
I did start it though.
For that reason.
It's like the ones where people go to Oregon and get assisted suicide. Like I'm really into this story, but
it's tough.
It makes me feel I know it sounds weird, not uncomfortable for them.
Yeah.
It makes me. Anybody who has a problem makes me worry. I'm not worried about you. I don't have empathy.
Well,
I'm very much like Dexter. But I'm like, oh, no, what if I have that?
Yeah.
I don't want to go through that. I just get scared for me.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of where empathy comes from, though, is to imagine what if this were happening to me. But, yeah, I managed to get like through maybe a quarter of that movie. And it wasn't even depressing. I just knew it was going to get depressing.
I turned it on. I was like, no.
But he did a movie a few years ago, some sort of gangster movie, and where he shows up as the boss of this family at the end, and he's got the box, you know?
Oh,
the smoker, because he had throat cancer. And that was tough. You couldn't understand him
at
all.
The birthday cake.
The birthday cake. Yeah,
that was a good movie.
I thought it was surprisingly good. But yeah, you couldn't understand him. It was after that they ended up getting one of those companies to create a voice for him. They brought his voice back using old movies and stuff, and he was able to talk with kind of like
Roger Ebert was pretty good. Surprisingly good. And they went back and got like a lot of gangster actors.
Yeah, no.
Like Lorraine Bracco was
in
that.
Yeah. So anyhow, Val Kilmer died. There's other news as well. We'll talk about it in a minute.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. Well, Sunko, did you end up getting your license thing taken care of, your DMV thing taken care of?
Yep.
It just took you 2 days, right? That's not bad. Two full days?
No. Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, pain in the ass, but
I mean, you know, people that have the DMV to look forward to shouldn't expect to get in and out of there in two full days. But
I almost did the first day.
It is possible, technically, to get it done in back-to-back eight-hour days. Yep. Well, apparently the DMV is extremely packed now because of this Real ID thing. I've already told you about the Real ID. I told you you're going to need it. They keep saying we're going to need it. And they delayed it a million times, but they're saying we are not delaying it this time, May 7th. And because that date is rapidly approaching, they say DMV lines are extra long.
From California to New York City, America's DMVs are packed.
I probably spent 8 or 9 hours trying to get my license.
But this morning, the waiting game is getting more urgent. Because by May 7th, if your regular old driver's license is not a Real ID, you should not rely on it at TSA checkpoints. The rollout, years in the making, has repeatedly been pushed back. But the federal government says its current May 7th deadline is not budging.
Okay, I looked into this, and from what I can tell, you just need it to fly. Well, I just won't fly.
Yeah,
my driver's license doesn't expire for a few more years, so I just won't fly. I'm not going to stand in line at the DMV for 8 hours because everyone's waiting for a Real ID. I don't fly anyway. So if something should come up where, you know, my fiance says, oh, we're going to go to the Sphere, you know, next month, and my dad's going to fly south, they'll be like, not me, I have to drive. And I'll just plan for that. It would be easier to drive to Florida, to drive to Vegas, than it would be to go stand in line at the DMV for 2 days. I'm not doing it just for that little star. Didn't you, Lazo, get it done online?
No, I don't have one.
Okay, I was thinking that you tried to order one online or something. You were able to do that. That must have been something
else. I ordered
my
Social Security card.
Okay. I was thinking that was weird. Like, I didn't know you could get a new license on the internet, but I thought maybe if yours wasn't expired already, I'm not going back to the DMV. I'm really just going to wait. I'll just wait. And they said they're not pushing this date back, but that the TSA does reserve the right to make kind of exceptions and practice a little leniency. Well, then I'll just go there without my Real ID and say, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And they'll probably let me fly. We mentioned this a second ago, but Val Kilmer, I don't know, how old do you have to be to realize what a legend Val Kilmer was there for a minute? I mean, he was one of the stars. By around, I'd say he peaked somewhere around like 96.
Yeah.
He was huge. He'd been in a ton of stuff. He was a movie star. He also had started to earn a pretty bad reputation around Hollywood. So it seemed like he started to do less and less stuff. It's also possible he just didn't want to do as much stuff. I remember reading something about him a long time ago that he lived in New Mexico, I think, in some town that wasn't very big, and that he had become like the unofficial mayor of that town.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was from there originally or if he had sort of adopted that place, but he just liked laying low in this New Mexico town. He got throat cancer. He was pretty young. I think he was like in his 30s or 40s when he got throat cancer. And ended up losing the ability to speak, or at least mostly losing the ability to speak. They had to remove part of his jaw, I think maybe part of his tongue, I don't remember. But the big rumor, and I don't know if this was true or not, but he was a Christian Scientist. And I remember seeing him on an interview with Larry King, and he talked about that that's kind of how he was raised. But he didn't specifically say, like, yes, that means I don't go to doctors.
Right.
Or he never said that. So I wonder how much of that stuff was just, you know, kind of a rumor. Same with his reputation. Who knows if that's the kind of... I'm sure it's possible for an actor to earn a bad reputation in the press while behaving no worse than other actors who don't have that same reputation. I'm sure it's possible. You know what I mean? Especially once it becomes a story, then the next outlet... I'm not saying that's what happened.
Right.
But I think... I'm sure it's possible. And the people in New Mexico, wherever he lived, they seemed to love him. They thought he was a great guy.
But he could have been hard to work with.
He could have been.
You know, that's like... You know, who knows?
I saw him defending himself in an old interview, and he's like, I'm not hard to work with. He's like, I was just busy.
Maybe he just liked...
I had a lot to do.
Things done a certain way. I mean, you don't get to his level and his stature as an actor without having a thought of how things should go and what they should look like and how they should be. And when it doesn't go that way, maybe he gets mad. But
yeah,
I don't know.
And I could go with
Kilmer's films grossed over $3.7 billion worldwide.
He's a bona fide movie star, for sure. And he claimed that some of those people that were reported as not liking him actually did like him, and that stuff was misreported. People were misquoted. So who knows? But he died at 65. His daughter said that he passed away from pneumonia.
This morning, Hollywood is remembering Val Kilmer, who took on iconic roles from Iceman to Batman. He passed away at the age of 65, his daughter says, from pneumonia.
Actor Josh Brolin summed up the star's on-screen persona in a tribute, writing, "You were a smart, challenging, brave, uber-creative firecracker. There's not a lot left of those."
What's your problem, Kazansky?
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe.
There you go. I mean, everyone remembers Top Gun, right?
He went to Juilliard.
Yeah, he was one of the youngest, they said, people ever to be accepted into Juilliard's School of Acting. I didn't know that until this morning. I was reading stuff about him, and I was watching a bunch of tributes that they put together. Of course, a lot of clips of Top Gun in those tributes. I'd go with Tombstone, you know. That's probably my favorite. It's definitely my favorite Western. And it just, he makes that movie. I love Kurt Russell, too. Lazo's also a huge Kurt Russell fan and loves Westerns. But, man, Val Kilmer really did steal that movie, and it's just such a great movie. He was in that movie that we were just talking about earlier, Birthday Cake or The Cake or whatever. And he had a hard time talking. After the surgery that he'd had for his cancer treatment, he had a very hard time talking. And, I mean, it was hard to understand him. I had to put the captions on in the movie because I really couldn't understand what he was saying. But I guess shortly after that movie came out, he worked with some software company, and they came up with one of those, you know, voice replicators, which that's really not anything new. Of course, now it's easier with AI, right? But I remember Roger Ebert having that one. I don't know when Roger Ebert died, or I guess more specifically when Roger Ebert had that cancer surgery on his jaw. But Roger Ebert had that voice generator that sounded just like him that he used on his keyboard. Val Kilmer, it was a similar thing, a little more modern, but I mean, this is him talking with that software.
I was struck by throat cancer. After getting treated, my voice as I knew it was taken away from me. People around me struggle to understand me when I'm talking. But despite all that, I still feel I'm the exact same person. Still the same creative soul. The soul that dreams ideas and stories constantly. But now I can express myself again. I can bring these dreams to you and show you this part of myself once more. A part that was never truly gone.
There you go.
Did you know he went to, sometimes you're like, man, you know, how do people end up in the same high school at the same time? And he went to high school with Kevin Spacey.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, just one of those weird things.
They're the same age.
He attended Chatsworth High School the same time as Kevin Spacey. So they're within years of each other for sure.
I guess I shouldn't be that surprised
by
that.
His high school girlfriend was Mayor Winningham?
Didn't see that either. I had no idea. What was that movie he did with Michael Douglas about the lion? I kind of liked that movie too. I heard him talking about being friends with Michael Douglas, and Michael Douglas giving him career advice after they worked together. And I was like, oh yeah, they did that Lion movie together. I kind of like that Lion movie. And I also thought that Ghost in the Darkness, thank you, Twitch, that's what it was, Ghost in the Darkness. I also thought that even though the Batman movie he did was cheesy, he made a good Batman.
Yeah, he did.
He looked good in the suit, and he sounded good as Batman. He made a good Batman. It's just, you know, that particular Batman movie, personally, at least, I thought wasn't so good. My ex would tell you, I think she thought it was the best Batman movie of them all. She loved it. Absolutely loved it. Trump's tariffs. Today's the big day, Liberation Day. And, you know, so that means we get these new retaliatory tariffs or whatever they're called. We already knew about the cars. We've been over this. But now we get the other stuff as well. It's going to be good.
This morning, President Trump going all in on his huge economic gamble, preparing to slap reciprocal tariffs on foreign adversaries and allies alike. The president has already implemented a series of new tariffs or import taxes. 20% on Chinese imports, 25% on aluminum and steel, and 25% on certain goods from Mexico and Canada. Beginning tomorrow, he'll impose 25% tariffs on imported vehicles, and next month, on imported auto parts. Among those protesting President Trump's sweeping actions, Democrat Cory Booker.
More Americans need to stand up and say enough is enough.
Setting the record for the longest speech in Senate history, more than 24 hours, railing against President Trump as a grave and urgent threat to the country.
This president is wrong. And he's violating principles that we hold dear.
24 hours. I thought when you went for 24 hours, you got up there and read Dr. Seuss books and did that.
Yeah,
I remember. Who did that? Somebody did that. They brought children's books up there and read. Also, Cory Booker breaking the record, that kind of surprised me too. 24 hours is a long time. Don't get me wrong. But I think I knew that Strom Thurmond had done it. I feel like I knew that there had been a 24-hour talk on the Senate floor. But I didn't have any idea yesterday that he was trying to break his record, and that he did. So he broke his record. I was asking Snowcone all day yesterday, why is Cory Booker down on the floor? What is he talking about? And Snopkin kept saying, I don't know, I'm not sure. Sounds like he was just, in general, upset about Trump's tariffs.
Yeah, it wasn't a filibuster because he wasn't, you know, disputing a bill.
Yeah, which I'd never heard
it
of this.
It was just, it was kind of performance, you know.
Yeah, because it's, every time I can think of, someone was filibustering something. So I guess I kind of thought that's what you had to be
which
doing.
Democrats
you were protesting.
Have not figured out a way to really do that yet as a way to, like, you know, dispute Trump. So, you know, he's trying something, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it got him some attention. We're talking about him. You could have told me yesterday morning that Cory Booker's been retired
he's
for 6 years.
He's still young enough to run for president. He's tried it once. Wouldn't surprise me if he's setting himself up to do it.
And he broke the record. So, you know, he's got that going for him. He said that he was thinking about Strom Thurmond, you know, setting that record because of the civil rights stuff. What was it called? Civil rights law? Civil rights act. Civil rights act,
civil rights
right?
Act?
It was
LBJ?
An act. Yeah. Isn't that what he filibustered?
Strom Thurmond, yeah.
Yeah, it was like 24 hours. And I heard Booker anyway say he knew that that was record. He knew that that's why he was up there filibustering. So he wanted to break that record to put that to bed. So there you go. Guys, we have to take a break. But there is more news to talk about, including your pal, Mangione. You guys like to call him Luigi.
So does everyone else in the world.
Yeah, I like to call him Mangione. I mean, isn't that way? When I was a kid, the coaches at school, they called you by your last name. You called the teachers by their last name.
Sure.
Nowadays, everybody calls teachers, coaches, Coach Tom, Mr. Tom. They all use first names. I don't understand. When did that start?
You're right, it did. And all my kids call my friends their first name. They always have.
Oh, my goodness. We are doomed. We are doomed. I actually don't know if it matters at all. But I have noticed that. They always they even call their teachers by their first names, right? They'll say Mr.
I don't think they say Miss.
Right. And then they say their first name like Mr.
I've only heard that
Miss
with
Sandra,
like coaches and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Usually it's their last names.
Okay. Maybe it's just like in
the
preschools and stuff
are,
then.
You know, they, I hear them say their names.
So there is some respect. Have you ever looked at one of your kids' friends and said, hey, it's Mr.?
Never.
And have any of them ever tried to call you Mister? And you say, "Hey, that's my dad's name." You've never even had an opportunity to give that line.
Neither.
You because you called your friend's parents Mister.
I
Mrs.
did, and
so-and-so,
then their last
right?
name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it'd be crazy to call them the first name.
Right, and I also don't remember them ever correcting me and being like, "Hey, you know, Mister So and So is my dad's name. Call me Sheldon." That wasn't a thing. We just went with Mister and Mrs. So and So. But does it matter? Does it mean that there's a lack of respect?
I don't think so.
Probably doesn't matter at
all. I think it's all right.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
The rest of the news, my friend.
Yeah, do it. Hurry up. Get through it.
Well, Luigi Mangione. I said it. I gave you his first name. Luigi Mangione could face...
Hopefully the death penalty.
The death penalty, that's right. Hopefully. Hopefully this is a federal crime and they
put him down. This
morning,
Luigi Mangione faces the possibility of the death penalty if he's convicted of murdering United Healthcare Chief Brian Thompson.
Well, what else can he face? Diane Sawyer, I guess.
Premeditated, cold-blooded assassination and announced federal prosecutors would pursue the death penalty in line with President Trump's push to restore capital punishment. Mangione's attorney called the decision barbaric and said he should not become the government's trophy. Mangione has pleaded not guilty to state charges, but New York does not have the death penalty. The only way it could be imposed is if Mangione is convicted of federal crimes.
So Trump is pro-death penalty? That surprises me a little bit.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Who would have thought? That's
I
what
think
they
most
said.
Presidents are.
That's what they said. He's
pro. Have we ever had one who wasn't?
I think, was Obama against it?
No.
Clinton changed his mind, right?
Clinton,
or did he?
I don't know. He was pro
He was pro-capital punishment.
I can't even know when it wasn't.
And, of course, Bush would have been, because he's from Texas, right? And
yeah, there's a governor there.
Yeah, I don't know what Obama said about it. I don't know. But I'm joking, by the way. I would expect Trump to be pro-death penalty. But it's just interesting that they're, like, working those things together. As if Trump said, you better kill Luigi Mangione. I don't know that he said that. Mm-hmm. They just sort of, you know, wedged that in there, like, if he committed a federal crime, he could get the death penalty, which would go along with Trump's support of the death penalty or whatever. Like, okay, maybe Trump did say something about it. I don't know. But I don't think that's the most interesting thing about Luigi right now. Sure, he faces the death penalty, but that's not a huge surprise. The thing that I find interesting is we know there's a bunch of people who support Luigi Mangione, like our producer over there, who's a known communist. And, I mean, he's open about it. I'm not, like, trying to attack him. He goes to the rallies and everything. Wears the T-shirts. Like, at least three quarters of his T-shirts say something about
it. It's crazy, because he's also a known cuck. He goes to the rallies and the meetings and all that stuff, so.
Man.
I don't know. Is there one where they blend it? The communist cucks of the United States or something?
Just my own. I've been trying to get it started.
Oh, so going. You're supposed to pretend like you don't know what a cuck is. That's what you're supposed to do. Then I might believe you, you know?
Take a page out of your book.
Yeah, you just got to be believable. So Luigi Mangione, there's all these supporters. I assume they still exist. Right after the incident, of course, there were a lot of them after his arrest. And you see these girls with signs, "We love Luigi," and these websites. They were donating money to his defense. And I think he got, I'm guessing he used that money for his defense. I would use it, right? I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Does that, what would a lawyer be like? No, I wouldn't take that money. That looks bad. That was a lot of money that it got raised. I don't know what it ended up being in the end, but they were raising a lot of money for him. So there's a lot of people who supported him. I understand that we have problems with our healthcare system. My mother went to the ER yesterday.
Oh, no,
and so she fell down.
No, I hate when old people fall.
Yeah. And
my mother does it too.
My dad
found his mom face down, ass up next to the toilet. Oh, boy. You don't ever want to be that guy.
Unless it's me.
Felt bad for him.
I liked finding her that way, but you don't want to be the son.
My mother or your mother?
His mother.
Your dad's
mother.
Yes. You like finding her that way?
Yeah. Well,
she was a tall drink of water. She was like 6'3" and British.
Yep.
You know, British, Jewish lady.
Had that little bit of an accent left.
She did.
Yeah,
she real cocky too.
Could get that ass in the air. Oh, she was a bitch.
Yeah.
But I like bitchy sometimes, you know?
She was one of those kids she'd be seen and not heard.
Yeah, and don't spare the rod. And,
right, and someone asked her, you know, did she, when she immigrated here, did she come through Ellis Island? I think somebody's kids did. Maybe one of my sister's kids when they were little learned about it. And she said, no, I came first class on an airplane.
That's right.
If I could explain my grandmother, that was her. And if you walked into her house, even her condo later on in life, there was a big old china cabinet, and the top one was a giant china plate of the queen.
That's,
yeah,
you know,
whatever.
Loyalty, I suppose.
She ate cheese on apple pie. I don't know why she does that.
Why do people do that? I worked
disgusting.
At restaurants.
I've seen her do it all the time.
People ordered it at restaurants. We had apple pie on the menu.
Cheese on it. Yeah. Apple pie.
Yeah, people.
I don't know if that's a British thing or not, but it's disgusting.
I don't either, but I watched people do it at the restaurant. They'd say, "Let me get a slice of cheese on there." I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, "Sir, I'm gonna have to ask you to leave." What the hell is in front of you? And then, you know, I was like 16, and then I found out that's a fairly common thing with people.
I had no idea it was common until this moment.
A common, I don't know, but
like,
I saw it multiple
times. Like, I learned later on that other people did it, but I didn't know anybody ordered it like that at a restaurant.
Yeah.
They just said, "Can you throw some American cheese on this?"
They melt a slice of cheese over the top
Gross.
Of it.
Gross. Why? Have you ever heard of that?
I don't know.
You have? Would you do it?
I've never tried it.
It might be good. There's things that sound... When I was a kid, I remember watching Pulp Fiction. They're talking about putting mayonnaise on French fries, and I thought that sounded disgusting. Now that's how I eat my French fries.
Yeah,
I love mayonnaise on French fries.
Condiment, though, that's different than cheese on pie.
I think so too. Okay, all right. I just, you know, I haven't tried
it.
So
I like to dip my fries in A1 steak sauce.
Yeah, that
I
is
think
good.
It's great.
That's good. Do you like the chocolate shake though? I'm not into that. The ice cream.
I mean, I don't usually get the ice cream. So
yeah, the people that dip it in their frosties.
Like the frosties.
That's really
good.
Popular. It
sounds
does.
Well,
see, it doesn't even sound
it's
good.
It's chocolate and salty. I mean, sure.
Yeah,
I mean, I like that as a combination.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess I just love my fries so much. I want them a certain way. But people
you
do weird things.
Mayonnaise.
I love mayonnaise now.
That's insane.
And when I was a kid, I didn't like it at all.
Duke's is the best.
Now I love mayonnaise. Duke's, I'll take it. I don't care if it's Aldi brand or whatever.
Duke's.
Just no Miracle Whip. I don't want Miracle Whip.
I understand, but go ahead and get yourself a bottle of Duke's.
I've had one. I had one. You told me about it.
It's a game changer.
It's good.
It's completely different.
It's good. I like it. And they make all the different flavors. I like the olive oil flavored one.
Oh, yeah.
There's some good ones. Anyhow, Luigi, we're getting off course here. Luigi Mangione, he's got a lot of supporters, including elected officials in our government, or at least in California's government. Did you guys see this? That they have proposed this bill, and they named it after Luigi? This is a real thing.
The title itself is causing a lot of people to do a double take. Now, the Luigi Mangione Act would make it harder for health insurance companies to deny medical care, essentially making it illegal in California.
I knew you'd love it. I knew you'd love it.
Medication or medical procedures to a patient. And while its controversial name is generating attention, this proposed measure has a long way to go before it could become state law.
So they want to pass a law called the Luigi Mangione Act.
Yeah.
That would, you know, restrict when healthcare companies can deny services. Look, if you want to pass laws that say, hey, you can't keep denying people without reason or whatever, we want to have some more oversight, that's great. But you're going to name it after the guy who tracked this guy down and shot him in the back of the, in the back, I guess?
Well, it still makes, I mean, it's still, yeah, I get it. It still makes you mad. I was mad the other day. I took my kid to the dentist and they were like, you know, they're pushing that Invisalign thing. I don't know.
But, of course they are.
Right, of course. You know,
of course.
They take a picture and put it up there.
Every
and they do it right in
braces.
Front of your kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, would you like to look like that?
Right.
You're like, of course the kid's like, yeah.
Sure, great, yeah.
Right. And then with you, they're like, well, you know, Dad, you know, let's run your insurance and see. I'm like, okay. And they come back, and I know what it is. They're like, yeah, your insurance doesn't cover us. It'll be like, you know, $7,000. Like, Jesus, man.
And that's everyone. I think everyone has the same dental insurance. Right. If they're lucky enough
How
to have it at all.
How in the world does it not include that?
Because like, it only pays for a teeth cleaning, basically.
Right.
Anything after that, they might throw you a couple bucks. Like, literally. Oh, you just had a $600 root canal or whatever, which it might cost more than that. Here's 20 bucks.
Right.
That's why you got to go to the damn dental students to get anything done. The kids who've never even worked on someone before, and you say, go for it. Hell, some people go to a guy's basement and have their teeth worked on. But yeah, my mom yesterday, speaking of the healthcare, I was pissed off because my mom went to the ER. She falls down. She goes to the ER. I will not say the name of the hospital, but it's in your hometown, right?
No, it's in Overland Park.
Yeah, it's not like in the middle of nowhere. And it happened
Menorah?
To be.
Menorah? It's not in a Jewish hospital.
Don't talk. I was born at Menorah.
I'm telling you, that's the greatest hospital there is.
It was not Menorah. So let's not whittle it down. This hospital, she goes to the ER. She got there
that's
like
a long drive for her. Where was she?
She was close. They were shopping somewhere nearby when she fell. So they
she
go there.
At my place, was she?
No, she was not at your place.
My
they
stairs
were shopping.
Are tricky for her.
They were shopping.
And I have like my handles broken on the stairs to go to the basement. I don't know why she'd be going to the basement. But
she wasn't at your house. She was shopping with a friend. Anyhow, she goes to the ER. Now imagine you're an elderly woman. You're bleeding from your head, right? You go to the ER. She sat in the waiting room for 3 hours, okay? Well, it was like 3.5 hours. After the 3.5 hours is up, they finally put her in a room, and then she waits another 2 hours before she finally sees a doctor.
Ugh.
So what makes me mad is when people say, oh, you want to change healthcare? You want it to be like Canada where you have to wait in line?
No.
We do that here, and we pay more for it. We're paying more for it.
I know, that wait in line thing, like, you know, my doctor will be like, all right, you know, well, let's schedule you for some tests. Regular tests, you're at this age, you're a guy, you smoke, like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, heart stuff, whatever. And then the
calcium test.
The people will call me, and they'll be like, hey, you want to do this heart test? And I'm like, sure. And they're like, all right, we can schedule it in December.
Yes.
I'm like, what?
How about it? Snow Cone tried to get a doctor, and he came in, and he's like, I can't find a doctor. I was like, just call doctor's offices. There is one that will take you. He's like, Slim, I swear to God, I'm going to punch you in the face. They won't take me. So I start calling doctor's offices. And I really did believe, like, I'll find someone. I could not find a doctor that would take him. The one that I found, she was a nurse practitioner that could see in, like, a month. Mm-hmm. To see, a nurse practitioner, nothing against great nurses of this country, but Socom was trying to find
a
general practitioner.
Every person told me, oh, call mine. I promise.
That's what I said, too.
Everyone
I was like, call my office.
Said that, and I didn't want to work.
We got new doctors.
So I finally told someone, like, you call.
Yeah.
You call these places.
So I sat here after work and just called.
He spent an hour.
Called and called and called. And I did. I started with my office because I know they got two new doctors. And like, yeah, no. I'm like, what's – I thought you guys were like losing money. So you can't find doctors. You want to see a psychiatrist?
Good luck with that.
Who do you think
good
you are?
Luck with, that's harder than
the
a doctor.
The Queen of Wales? You don't get to go see a psychiatrist. If you want to see a psychiatrist, you're going to make 700 phone calls. And you'll eventually, if you are extremely lucky, find someone who will see you in a year. So I hope whatever's wrong in your head isn't pressing because you're going to have to wait a while.
Or my heart.
Exactly. Or your heart. Yeah. Oh, that calcium test. We'll do that in December. What'd you say was going on? I don't know. Heart palpitations. I get hot at night. I'm sweating a lot. Actually, I'm dizzy right now. Okay. We'll see you in December. That's the healthcare system we have.
Right.
And we pay a fortune for it. I'm not a politician.
I didn't even look at my paycheck, but I know. I mean, I pay for mine.
What
my
we
two
pay,
kids.
What you pay for, and then think about how much our company pays for it. Because you already have to pay this much. The company's already paying a huge chunk of it.
Right. And then your kid needs Invisalign. Like, yeah, no, we don't cover
none
that.
Of it's covered. Mm-mm. Yeah. No. Then why'd you bring it up, dickhead?
The Church of Laszlo.
All right. So what's going on in the NFL?
Okay. Well, there's, I guess, a few things, actually. I didn't look into all of it because I feel like every year in the NFL, there's a couple changes. They might make a couple slight rule changes. I mean, the whole kickoff thing was a big. I still don't understand the rules of the kickoff. No, I don't even know why we have a kickoff anymore. I think I did see something about. Will you look that up, Snowcone?
If you don't kick it into that zone, then the other team gets it at the 35. I think they made it so they want you to kick it in the zone.
Yeah.
Why change it? It was fine.
There was some change because I saw it today. It said, understanding the NFL's new kickoff rules and something else. And I was like, okay, well, I still don't understand last year, so I'll look at that later. But then I saw NFL announcing that they're going to get rid of the chains. And I was like, now, wait, this is something we've talked about. How are they going to do it? exactly the way that we said they should do it. They're getting Sony, they're partnering with Sony to get a bunch of cameras and sensors in the ball. So now there's no more ref looking at a pile of guys and trying to decide where you should place the ball and then bringing those chains right out. They will actually keep the chains because they're going to be there as a backup in case the computers fail. But that is not what they will be relying on. They're now going to start using these sensors so they actually know where the ball is. And I, for one, am all for making the game more fair. But I also understand the human element, and that includes refs. And there is something to that moment where they put the ball down and they bring out the chains and you're waiting to see if your team's going to make it by that inch or if they're going to be an inch short, you know?
Right.
But I don't love that enough to get rid of.
That's my thing. We always talked about it, and yes, it should all be done. But you still have to look to see where the knee is.
Yes.
Like, because it's not just where the ball goes. If their knee's down, that's where the ball is. So how are they going
to
do that?
I believe they're using sensors. They showed these little sensors, and to me it looked like the sensors must go in their pads.
Oh,
but,
really?
But my thing is, if your sensor's in the pad, then would everyone have one? Everyone would have to have one, right?
I guess everybody who could carry the ball.
And also, you can be down without hitting your knee, right? Like, you can be down if the side of your leg touches the ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They so probably know that.
They're
though,
still going to need the human element. But also, this whole sensor in the pads thing, I don't know if they're actually implementing that yet or not. They showed pictures this morning of things that look like they would go on the pads.
Okay.
The thing that I saw them showing off this morning were the cameras and the sensors that will be along the sideline so they at least know where the ball
was. I guess they'll have cameras so they can see it the same way they did it before, but now they know exactly where the ball was. They'll have to go back to cameras to see where the elbow was or the knee or whatever.
Yeah, and like if you see a guy go down, I'm sure you know they got a rough idea, decent idea where the ball was, but when you're talking about a game of inches, then getting it exactly right. So if the ref goes, he was down there, that's where the ball is down. Okay, well, where was the ball when his knee? Yep. The computers will tell you. I'm fine.
The chain gang will no longer be the primary source of measuring that 10-yard progress, although the NFL is making it very clear that they will still remain as a secondary option there on the sideline.
So it's 8K cameras. And like I said, it's Sony 8K cameras, and it's called Hawkeye technology. This is exactly what we've talked about. There's no reason not to have it, I don't think.
Of course,
I mean, maybe we'll find out.
Why would it be bad?
But we've got the technology now.
I mean, even if it makes a mistake, it's not like the chains were perfect before. It's just kind of like a rough estimate.
And it was always kind of a rough estimate where to put the ball. The guy's knee hits the ground, and then the ref kind of runs over there and hopes he's not running slightly.
And a lot of times you can't see the ball.
Right.
You just see his knee, or you can't see his knee, and you only see the ball. So
yeah. It says, instead of using chains, the traditional chains, to measure the line of gain, the new technology is expected to speed up the process of determining first downs, but it won't necessarily take human error out of the equation because the things that we already discussed. But it takes effect this year and next year. I don't know if it's going to be ready like at kickoff this year, because the way they announced it this morning, they said it will be introduced and take effect in the maybe they said it'll just take effect in the 2025-26 season. So then I guess it should start at the beginning of the year. But there's other things we've talked about that they could do, like putting sensors in the pads.
Mm-hmm.
They could do all that stuff. You could have, if you see a pile of guys, we have the technology where if you had sensors on that guy, you could basically see an X-ray to see
where
he was. Those times where somebody's fighting for a ball in a pile, okay, well, when did he get control of that ball? If you got the sensors in the ball, if we can see through that pile, we can see. Did he whip the ball out of his hands when he was already down? You know, it's not going to fix like the most annoying parts of the NFL. The most annoying parts are the holding calls because there's holding on every play.
Every play.
And it's just, when do you decide to call it? And when it's a game changer, it's
like
annoying.
They try to call it in a bad spot.
Exactly, in a big moment. It's like, why'd you wait until this big moment? You know, they did it in the Super Bowl at the beginning of the game, and it looked like, oh, here we go. They're going to start giving the Chiefs calls.
Yep.
You know, I wasn't saying that. But the people who are anti-Chiefs were saying that. And that did seem like a chicken-esque call.
Right.
I mean, that was bad, right? This is the Super Bowl. It was a nice pass, a nice catch.
Yep.
And then they call it back, and you go, wait, so have you decided you're going to do this the whole game? Because sometimes you get that impression, too, that the refs have decided, all right, this game, we're going to call a lot of holding. That way they feel like it's fair. If we call no holding, you know, then people get pissed off about that, too. The thing that pisses me off the most is when you just call it once or twice and it's on huge plays.
Of course.
That's when it pisses me off.
It has to be. I think for holding offensive line, it should just be, it has to be egregious.
Yes.
To me, like, your arms have to be out.
Yes.
And you have to be holding him. If not, if you're in here somewhere,
grab him
let it go.
Or totally block him
right,
by
like
touching him.
If he gets around you and you put your arm around him.
Yeah,
course,
I'm fine when they wrap someone up.
Yeah, right.
And they go, oh, okay, pass
but
him
if it's
fence,
just,
of course.
Yeah,
but what about when they just call holding on, you know, someone on the line?
That's what I'm
and
saying.
Oh, that's what you're talking about? Because you're thinking, I've watched this game long enough to know that every guy on both sides of that line are holding the other guy on every play.
Of course.
So when do you call it? And I get it. They call it when it looks like maybe he was going to sack the quarterback. But because someone had a hold of his jersey or whatever, okay. You know, if you really think he stopped him from sacking the quarterback,
but
then
if
fine.
Not, just let it go.
But yeah, I'm
and
all for the cameras.
Any call they make away from the play, I hate. So like, if they're like, oh, look, Mahomes threw a bomb to, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster and, but look at that. In the middle, on the opposite side of the field, Travis Kelce did something.
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
Right.
Had nothing to do with it.
I know.
Just leave it alone.
A legal block downfield.
Right, yeah.
Like, okay, dude, we got to do this over again.
Right.
They say that this will actually save time, too, because with the Sony cameras, they say it takes 30 seconds to figure out where the ball needs to be.
Okay.
I don't know why it's not instant, but they say that saves on average about 40 seconds. So I didn't realize, when you watch it, it seems like they're getting the ball and it's in the spot long before the guys are ready to go.
Yeah,
it's not like they're sitting there waiting for those guys, but hey, it's an idea that we had and it's being implemented.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Laszlo, you know I'm a nepotism guy. I'm pro nepotism.
Oh yeah, me too.
I'm pro.
I did a podcast with
perks.
My kids.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
I had a podcast. If you want to listen to it, I think I don't know where you find it, but how do you find it?
Anywhere you listen to Church of Laszlo podcast.
It just comes up there?
Yep.
All right, so wherever you listen to Church of Laszlo podcast, there's a podcast with me and you talking baseball.
Baseball.
Yep, it's called Let's Have a Catch.
That's nepotism.
Joe Cohn said that he thought our conversation sounded like what he assumed fathers and sons talk about.
Yeah, I
go, was it good? And he goes, he's like, I thought it was good. It sounded like something that a dad would talk to his son about
if I had
a dad. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. So it was good. He's like, yeah.
It's what I always imagined.
Because I thought about it after I was over. I was like, I wonder how people, because we drop F-bombs at each other. We're talking about Pete Crow, Armstrong, right. And like, you know, I mean, not like we're mad, but there are F-bombs.
Yeah, you call him an effing idiot.
Yeah. I said, the stuff you say is so, what did I say? Whatever. But yes, we did go back and forth. And he dropped it too. So, well, I thought it was a good podcast if you're interested in baseball.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, smart kid. I mean, I don't know how smart he is at other stuff, but he knows a lot about baseball.
He does know a lot about baseball.
Damn, he does.
You know what I'd like to do? I want to do a podcast with him. There's all these podcasts now. Jeff Francona, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Frenchie, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He does one with his buddies, and it's about, and Hosmer kind of too does it a lot, where they talk about kids' sports.
Okay.
And, you know, competitive sports, how
much
they pay.
You could do that.
But I thought, you know, of all the things, I tried to get in touch with Jeff Francona, but I couldn't. But I thought, all those podcasts that are doing it, nobody ever has the kid.
Right.
Nobody ever has a kid. I remember when I knew I was going to get a divorce and the papers had been filed. And people were always like, go talk to, you know, hey, this guy went through it. And I did talk to people who went through it. And they told me exactly how it was going to go. And they were right. Like, everything they said, okay, well, this is going to happen next. And then they were right. But the one thing I did was went to friends of mine who grew up in divorced families. And, like, what would you have wished your dad did? What would you have wished your dad didn't do?
Yeah, that's
how do
good.
You wish your dad would handle it? Because we can all talk about it. We don't know the kids. How are the kids? Do the kids like it? Do they not like it? Are they happy with it? Do they feel pressure? All the stuff you're talking about in these podcasts are so wildly popular now about kids' sports. How do they feel about it?
Bring the kid.
Right. Talk to the kid. Nobody ever talks to the kids about it. I'd like to bring both my boys in and be like, how do you feel about it?
You should.
You know, do you want to do it? Do you even like it?
Right.
Or is it just something you feel like you have to do?
I hope they like it. Jesus.
You know, well, one time I told my son, I was like, you know, well, you don't have to play. My oldest, you don't have to play baseball, bro. Like, you don't have to. And he literally said, I don't know, I feel like I'm programmed to do it.
Well, that could mean a lot of things.
Right. You know, but then, you
what
know, you see
mean?
Him and he has fun. So you're like, all right, but you know. I don't ever push them,
yeah.
You know, but
well,
I try not to anyway. But I am that dad, too. Like, I like sports, you know. I want them to play them. I like when they do it. So I just like to get their take on it. But I'd love to get one of those
but
guys.
But do you think sitting in here with you, they're more likely on the microphone to be open and honest than they would be in the car having a conversation. It's possible, by the way.
It's possible. I'm asking. I think when you get on, there's
something about this microphone
that makes you like, oh man. Well, all right, I'll tell you.
It's weird.
Yeah,
it's weird. And then I'll leave here most days actually and go, why did I share that?
Right.
Why was I honest about that?
Door closes and we get on these microphones, crazily enough, this is me.
Right.
This is the real, what you are hearing right now is the real me.
Without the mask.
When you meet me outside of here, that's the show.
And it's awkward.
Right. But that's where I have to be someone I'm not. I can't talk like this to people at the PTA meeting.
Right.
Even though I'd like to.
Yeah.
But I just go, okay, roll my eyes and don't say anything, right?
Yeah, it's totally different. Here we get to be buddies. Even when you run into someone who says, hey, I met a guy a couple nights ago, and he said, hey, aren't you Slim Fast? I grew up listening to you, which is totally flattering, right? Mm-hmm. But I just feel so awkward in that moment because I don't know. Yeah. I don't know you, what I mean? And I really appreciate that you came up and said hi to me. Don't get me wrong. I do appreciate that. My ego loves it, right?
Right.
Hey, somebody's listening. That's good to know. But you're right. It's totally different. And you get this a lot. Like, you sound different. Well, because I'm talking different.
Right.
Because I'm not at work, and at work it's like me and my buddies hanging out, sitting around in the garage, smoking cigarettes.
And I get to be really who I am.
Yeah.
Like really, really who I am.
Yeah.
And then when I meet you out there, I can't. I'm reserved.
Right.
I don't say exactly what I think.
Yeah, it's different. You put on those different masks. Well, the reason I bring up nepotism is because I'm all for it. And I'm for special privileges. If you work in radio and someone's like, hey, well, I work in concerts, I'll give you tickets. Yeah, absolutely.
I just got our buddy, Burko, just texted me, AOL Nation in town, you and the kids want to go? And then he sent me the thing with everything that he sent me for me and the boys. And, and then on top of it, it says, hey, these tickets should be this, this, and this. This is a close personal friend.
There you go.
Right? Like, it just made, I saw what they saw.
That's how it should be.
Close personal friend. Like,
whatever your job is.
I just responded, you put me as a close personal friend
yeah.
with a heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you work at Nordstrom Rack, you get that 25% off, you give it to a friend, mm-hmm. you should take advantage of that. I'm all for it. I'm usually okay with a police officer being pulled over for, speed and they're doing 10 over or whatever. They hand over their information. The cop finds out, oh, you're a cop. And they let him go. They didn't kill anybody. They're speeding a little bit. They realize, oh, you're a cop. That doesn't make my head explode.
No.
It doesn't bother me. But boy.
I mean, my dad sold groceries. Our basement was filled with groceries.
Exactly.
We had a giant freezer in the garage.
One of those deep freezers you put bodies in.
Yeah, right? It was big. Huge. I come home, 17 years old after having a few beers, just open it up, and it's just restaurant food that you heat up. Like, whatever. You're like, oh, here, anybody, bring your buddies back. You guys want chicken parmesan? Like,
it's like unlimited Schwan Man.
Right
here at my house.
A giant freezer full of that stuff. And then downstairs, we just had a basement area filled with non-perishable foods.
Well, I got a clip I want to play for you here in a bit. Because it involves, this is a news story out of upstate New York. Now it's become a big national story. But this is a cop being pulled over by a cop. And I mean, I got angry. Snowcone, did you get angry? I was like, I had that blood pressure rising anger where I was like, tackle this person. Throw this person on the ground. Who cares that it's a cop?
The
they cannot act like that. They can't talk like that. Because you can ruin it.
Tase
you can
them.
Absolutely.
Mace
you,
them.
You can absolutely screw up your own privilege by being a dick about it. And boy, is this person a dick about it. Wait till you hear this, Laszlo. Okay.
The Church of Laszlo.
All right, let's hear it. You're going to say I'm going to get angry.
Yes. Like we said, both of us agree. We don't always get mad if a cop lets another cop go speeding ticket or finds out it's a cop and says, oh, okay, be on your way. That pisses some people off. Does not bother me. I think it's just like any other job. I know they're not supposed to do it, but there are plenty of things to get angry about, and that's not one of them.
And also, there's plenty of cops to let you go.
Exactly.
Regular people, too.
Exactly. So this happened in upstate New York, okay? A district attorney. Not a district attorney, the district attorney. She makes it very clear that she is the district attorney.
Of what?
Of somewhere in upstate New York. Monroe County.
District attorney of Monroe County?
Yeah,
I thought they did like the... All right, well, it doesn't matter.
Her name's Sandra Dorley.
In my head, they do like the Southern District of New York. You know what I mean? And
yeah. But that's like the city, though, right?
I think so. I'm not
sure. She's upstate, so she's the DA for the county. Her name's Sandra Dorley. Now, she is driving home from work. She's had a bad day. I'm going to save you some time because it's a long video. She's had a bad day. She's doing, I think, 55 and a 20.
55 and a 35.
Oh, I thought he originally said 25 and later said 20. Was it a 35?
Yeah, he's a 55 and a 35.
Okay, 55 and a 35. He flips on, cop pulls out, puts on a siren and his lights. She didn't pull over. She keeps driving. She goes all the way back to her house. Nice, big, white, suburban house. Pops the garage. She's got a big Tahoe, you know, like my dream truck.
So he just follows her?
He just follows her. She opens a garage, goes into her garage, gets out of her car, and the cop's like, hello? And she's like, what? What do you want? And what ensues is about,
this
I don't know.
This is all body cam?
It's all body cam footage, and there's it probably the whole thing. You can find it everywhere online.
It's like 9 minutes.
It's probably about 10 minutes. Yeah, 9 minutes of them going back and forth. And, of course, she's saying, I'm the district attorney. Leave me alone. I don't get tickets.
Sorry, I'm the DA. I was going 55, coming home from work.
55 and a 35.
I don't really care.
Okay. Can you come? Can you come over here? No. You're on. This is on a traffic stop, ma'am.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now, right now, you can't see this. She's just getting out of her truck. She closes the door. That sounds like because I drive a GM, she left her key in the car. But she closes the door. She walks out. She is not approaching this officer. She's not trying to comply in any way, shape, or form. She's going about her business as if he weren't there. He is just a slight annoyance to her. Her dogs are there, and she starts dealing with them.
Okay, I'm telling you why I stopped you. You didn't stop at all. Did you not hear my lights or sirens or anything?
No, I didn't, actually. I was on the phone.
Okay, well, you're not supposed to be on the phone while you're driving either.
Yes, I am, with the hands-free, absolutely.
Okay, why are you so upset at me? I'm doing my job. You just admitted to me that you were going 55 and a 35 on Phillips Road.
Can you please tell him to leave me alone?
Officer Chris Afuoli.
So now she's got her cell phone out. She calls his boss. It's the chief of police, right? And she says, tell this guy to leave me alone. And then she hands the cell phone to the officer who's responding.
Can you stay over here, ma'am? This is a legal traffic stop. Do you have your ID?
No, it's in my purse. Here.
You have your purse right there.
No, this is my lunch. Would you talk to Dennis? This is ridiculous. Just go away.
This is ridiculous. Sir. Just go away. Right, she says. Okay. She's handing him the phone.
Good, ma'am. Can you please stay at the back? This is ma'am. This is legal traffic stop. Can you please stay over here?
No. Hey, baby, get your little guy out of here.
Now she's talking to her dogs. Hey, little Frankie. She's doing my thing. Hey, little Frankie. And she's playing with their dogs in the driveway.
I stopped her for going 55 and a 35 on Phillips Road.
On Phillips Road.
And she failed to stop. She drove all the way back home and parked in her garage.
He's talking to his boss.
She's not complying with any of my commands. Ma'am, do not go inside.
She just goes in the house.
Well, that's what I've done from the beginning.
He's
talking. I just put that car in the garage and close the door.
Oh, she just starts to walk right in the house.
Oh, my God.
Man. Oh, my God. Didn't she sound like a 16-year-old?
Come outside. You can't just go inside. This is a traffic stop. Here's your phone back.
I understand the law better than you.
953. Can you have a supervisor come to the scene?
No. Get out of my house.
Wow.
I don't know why you're acting like this towards me.
Because.
Can you please go to the back of the vehicle?
I'm not going to. I'm home. I was 55.
I don't care if you got home. You were supposed to stop at Phillips Road when I pulled you over. When my lights were initiated.
I didn't know you were stopping me. There was lots of other people on the road.
I was right behind you.
Yeah? There were other people on the road, too.
Okay, I was directly behind you.
I'm not dealing with you right now.
Can you please step over
here? I'm not dealing with you right now.
I'm not going to.
What is the reason you're...
Now, can we all... We don't have to say this, but can we all imagine a young black man driving 55 and a 35, police flip their lights and follow him. He doesn't pull over. He pulls into a house instead, opens a garage, goes into the garage, and gets out of the car.
At bare minimum, he's getting tased.
At bare,
bare minimum.
He'd already be on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And he would have already been tased by now. And that's... This infuriates me. This is not the same as getting pulled over, complying by handing your license. And when he opens up the wallet for the license, he sees her badge that she's the district attorney. And he goes, okay. You know what? I can live with that. This entitlement, this like just total disregard for this guy and his job and saying, I'm so above it. I'm above you. I'm basically your boss.
What do you think the cop is saying on the phone? What did she do? He kind of, I don't think he told. Didn't sound like he said, let her go.
You couldn't tell. Well, he does get to that, right, Snowcomb? Some other cops show up eventually, and doesn't the body cam cop tell those cops what was said, what they told him to do? It was like, just give her a citation. It sounded to me like his boss said, go ahead and give her a ticket, but he didn't say anything about, you know, what I wanted him to do, which is tase her ass and throw her on the ground.
Against what I'm doing. I'm doing my job. You say you're a DA?
I am the DA.
Okay.
I'm the DA.
Let me get you my badge. I am the DA of Monroe County.
Just don't understand the hostility.
She pulls out her badge, the whole thing. This goes on and on. Other cops show up. She continues to just act It's like belligerent in a way. She's just, a few years ago, we would have just said she's being a Karen.
Right.
He finally, at the end, because it sounded to me like the boss told him to do this, hands her the ticket. Now, another thing that's in this video, when she told him, no, I didn't see your lights, whatever, I was on the phone. And he goes, well, you weren't supposed to be on the phone. She says later that when she was on the phone, the person she called was the chief of police.
Mm-hmm.
And that she called the chief of police and said, tell your guy to get off my ass, basically.
Right, sure.
Tell him to not pull me over. And I saw
a
lawyer.
Did the chief of police do that?
Well, we don't have a, obviously not, because this guy made it to the house, so he didn't get a hold of him if he wanted to. He didn't talk to him until later. But I saw lawyers, and you saw the same clips, Snowcone, I think, but they had lawyers on that program talking about how crazy it is that she's admitting on body cam that she called the chief of police and told him while she's being pulled over, tell this guy to leave me alone.
And I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to.
I'll at least render the freaking going 55 and a 20. At the end of the day, I got discretion whether or not.
No, I guess.
He's talking to this other cop who showed him. He's like, what the hell do I do, right? Keep in mind, she's still just wandering around, and the other cop doesn't say, like, well, tase her ass.
So, all right, ma'am. So I'm issuing you speed in zone, 55 and a 35.
That's fine. I'll take care of it since I'll be prosecuting myself.
Okay.
That's fine. I'll take care of it since I'll be prosecuting myself. This bitch needs to go.
Yeah.
And also, how does she not know she's on body cam? She's a district attorney. She knows he's got a body cam.
I think, I mean, how she acts is clearly ridiculous. The other thing that I don't get is why.
Right. There's no need.
Look, you are the DA. Take the ticket, go to your office the next day, and rip it up.
That's it.
Like, you don't have to do anything. And by the way, if you really want to be a bitch about it, you can make that cop's life hell.
Yes.
Hell. Every time he goes in, never. Every time he arrests someone, say he did it wrong.
Yes.
He did it wrong. He didn't read their right. Like, I can't prosecute this case.
If there's a smarter way to be a bitch.
Every time he's in court, his cases lose.
Yeah.
Like, you could do that over and over
again. So many things she could do. As my mom said, she built an actual mountain out of a molehill. Because this should have been a slight annoyance that she could have taken care of, like you said.
But she said at the end, I'm going to be prosecuting myself. Yes. Just go in and rip it up.
So why did you sit here for 10 minutes arguing with this guy?
Just rip it up. Just be like, thank you for the ticket. Take the ticket and then literally rip it up.
That's it.
Right.
That's it.
And then you could mess with that guy continually.
It's like
if you want to. I don't know why you would, but.
But if she's that vindictive or that angry, fine. There's things you can do. It's like when you're a kid. Once I got in trouble at school, and my principal said, instead of calling my parents, she was going to make me promise that when I got home, I would tell my parents about it. I'm not going to call, but when you go home, you got to promise me that you're going to tell your parents what you did today. And I said, okay, I promise. Of course, they didn't tell my parents. But it's a lot easier than arguing with her and saying, no, please, I'm not going to tell my parents. Right. This woman could have done essentially the same thing. Take the ticket, say, okay, thank you, and then...
Have a great day. I'm sorry I was speeding.
It's over.
Like, make it. And by the way, you could make it even better if you wanted to. Take the ticket and then talk about it in a press conference.
Sure.
I got the ticket. You know what? I know what it's like. I know I prosecute cases, but nobody's above the law. And I was driving home, and you know what? Just like you, I lost track. I went 55 and a 35, and I have to pay this ticket. Like, get it out there in the news that you are also doing the same thing. You can't buy that kind of press. People would be like, well, I don't know if I liked her or not, but you know what? The cop here gave her a ticket and she paid it.
Yeah.
Like, and then talked about it. Like, I know what it's like to be speeding. Like, good. You know, it's almost like you'd be better off in the long run because you're looking for votes for it to be 75 and a 35 and she's got to go to a driver's class.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? That's good press.
Yes.
It's good press. Instead, this is ridiculous. People hate you now.
Clip of you saying, I understand the law better than you. Get the fuck out of my house. I'm sorry, Sokin. You got that. But it's just, like you said, she created something that didn't need to exist. There's no reason for us to be talking about this woman outside of Monroe County. There's no reason for people in Monroe County really to be talking about her unless they got a case pending.
Right. And they know, and like, I don't know.
She
the idea that she could have done it, she could have just gotten rid of it.
And people are saying, well, you're going to resign, right? And she was refusing. Now, I did see now that maybe she's apologized, but there's nothing about her resigning. I'm sorry. You got to go. You have to go. You're a bad cop. You make good cops.
Right.
Have to work even harder to keep the reputation they've earned through their actions. You're ruining it for everyone.
Right.
And when cops do that, I wish other cops would get angrier and say, no, you got to go. We work hard to not have this reputation.
That cop seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, but he knows he's on camera.
He does. And I can't believe
she
didn't.
But does he know she's the DA? Like, that's... I don't think he knows, right? Like,
she shows him a badge.
I know later on, but when he runs her plate, and the cop can tell me, you run the plate, you get the person's name. And, like, you know, anything they've ever done. I know it wouldn't say DA on there.
No, that gets brought up because she says,
but wouldn't,
like,
he know that? Wouldn't he know her name?
She said the same thing. Like, didn't you run my plate? And he's like, no, I didn't. He's like, I saw you doing the 55, so I called out the license plate. But I, once I turn my lights on and stuff, I'm not running the plates. I'm just keeping my eyes on the car. Hmm. He's like, I didn't check.
He called it in, but he did call it in on the radio, he said, right?
He called it in.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's
said,
right.
Like, hey, here's the license plate. I'm pursuing this vehicle. He's like, once my lights and sirens are on, I don't look at my computer. I look at the car in front of me.
But she admits that she called the police chief while she was supposed to be pulling over and told the police chief, hey, get your guy
says
off my
numerous
ass.
Times.
That to me is enough. That's corrupt. It is.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm okay. Imagine that would have been pissed if it worked.
If it worked, then I guess it's fine. I mean, right. I don't know. I don't hear about it. I don't like it. I don't like her. Like, that's pretty entitled, especially when she could do exactly what you're saying.
Right.
Pull over, take the ticket, and rip it up the next day. But, yeah, she's created this issue.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound like that's the way it works. Because it didn't keep this guy from pulling over. It didn't keep this guy from going to her house. If she knew that that's the way it worked, and then she could text the police chief and say, hey, and the guy would leave her alone and never release the body cam, then we wouldn't know about it. Okay,
right.
It's pretty corrupt, but it's not the worst. If she was drunk driving, I'd be mad. You know, if she just killed someone, I'd be really mad. She's just speeding. I don't know. I don't love it, but I this is different. This is different than a cop getting pulled over for doing 35 and a 25,
of course,
and complying, and then the other cop goes, "Oh, okay." Like you said, Lazo, they let us go.
Yeah.
You know, now we're white guys, so I don't know what it's like for other people.
Right, and I know it's harder for other people. I mean, but I haven't had a cop pull me over. And let me go. You know what? He said it was a license. Years ago, I had a license plate expired. And, it was after my divorce and the cars were in different names. And you're trying to get everything situated.
Yeah.
And he said, why is it expired? He literally had, why is it expired? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, man, you don't want to hear my life story, but I'm going through a divorce. I got to get the car switched in different names, trying to get a title. Like, it's a pain in the ass. And he's like, all right, I'll be back. And then he came back. Handed me my light, and he just said, I ain't trying to pile on.
Boom. That's
boom,
it.
Go. So sometimes you get that, right?
Yes.
Other times, I had a girl cop pull me over, and I was pulling into Taco Bell, and she's like, where are you headed? And I said, well, I'm going home. And then she said, well, why'd you pull into Taco Bell? You live at Taco Bell? And I'm like,
okay.
All right, bitch. Like, obviously, Jesus. I'm going to Taco Bell, then home. I thought you meant after here, because we're here.
Right.
But I was just like, you're right. I don't know. I'm lost.
Yeah, I must be
like, I'm lost. Just write the ticket.
Right. This woman could have done about a million other things that would have prevented us from
talking. And really, don't you just do that? Like, you tell a story. If they, I thought if you're going home, why are you at Taco Bell? I'm like, you know what? I don't know, Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
I don't know what are you trying to solve here? You're right. I was on my way home, and I saw Taco Bell, and I stopped to get some. But you asked me where I'm going. I just kind of gave you the end destination. But, if you want to know where I was stopping, what are you doing?
I didn't mention Taco Bell, which means I'm obviously the murderer that you're looking for.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Don't
quote Billy Joel to me.
I know you haven't.
Off the air, he literally used it in like a sentence.
Now I'm going to do it every day.
Right.
It's just.
Figure out a way to do it in the story.
Sometimes
right?
A fantasy is all you need. I'm like, no. Don't do that.
Lazo has to talk crap on Billy Joel, even though he likes him. It's just one of those weird things. It's just the way you are.
I like him.
It's true.
Don't you start.
It's true.
Don't you start.
Anyhow.
What did he say one time that he was rock and roll like royalty? What Lazo call him?
No, you're talking. Yeah, he said he was a rock and roll legend.
Rock and roll legend.
But he's also arguing with his ex-wife, so that could have had something to do with it. Yeah. There was an argument about seeing someone. I don't remember who the other artist was. And I think your ex said, that artist is better than Billy Joel. And you were like, okay, wait. And it was the first time I heard you defend Billy Joel. You go, Billy Joel is at least a rock icon.
Right.
So-and-so is a pop dip-ass or something like that. I don't remember who it was. And I was like, he called him a rock icon.
Mm.
But then who did Slim just compare him to? Bob Seger and...
Yeah, Slim said that he was...
Bob Sanders said Bob Seger.
Yeah, he said he was Bob Seger and Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, now you guys are totally making
That's
stuff up.
That's what you said.
That's what you said. You said like the New York version of Bob Seger.
I said he's my boss. And you guys turned that into he's better than Bruce Springsteen. I said Billy Joel is my boss. Anyway, OnlyFans, we got to clear our minds here. Picture scenes from an Italian restaurant. No, picture you're on OnlyFans, okay? Mm-hmm. You sign up. I know you've never
and
been
Billy
able to get.
Billy Joel comes on.
Yes, and he's like, dude, it's free. Check it out. Oh, man. So you actually figure out how to get signed in. I know that part you have to imagine, Lazlo, because you've never been able to get that far. And if they ask for your driver's license, I would understand not wanting to do that. I never had to do that.
Maybe I hit the wrong thing. Maybe they thought I was going to create content.
Maybe. Yeah, because I never got asked for a driver's license. I wouldn't have given that. But once you get logged in, you know, these let's just say girls, because if you're a guy and you're a straight guy and you want to see women on there, these women will send these automated messages to you when you sign up. Says like, you know, hey, babe, thanks for signing up. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And it's pretty obvious that they're automated. But some content creators, especially if they have a lot of followers, use these things called chatters. Chatters are people that they hire for like a low rate. They're real people. And these chatters will talk to customers pretending to be the content creator.
And it's just a video that's playing?
No, it's like an actual conversation because you can text messages.
I'm saying like the video of the girl is playing. And then they have chatters pretending to be her.
Well, this isn't
this is like
a
conversation.
You're thinking of webcam, like Cam Soda. OnlyFans is like, I recorded this content, and now I'm putting it up on social media or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not live interactive.
Okay. No, and it's like you've got an inbox, just like your iMessages or whatever, and she's texting you. So you're saying, what are you doing? And she's, what are you doing, baby? That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so if they have a lot of fun. Now, a lot of content creators will talk to their fans and actually, you know, respond. But then if they get too big, they might hire these things called chatters. I learned about this from a woman on the internet. I don't remember what her title was.
The ones that have a lot of followers, they will pay chatters who are humans in other countries that are paid very little to interact with the men. And the men think that they're chatting with the OnlyFans model. But now that AI has become so popular, there are a number of services available to the OnlyFans content creators, and that's the ones that have a lot of followers.
Okay, so you heard her there. Says they used to use chatters, but now that AI has become so available, a lot of them have moved on to AI. You don't even need a chatter to talk to someone. You can just fake it. And if you're on dating apps, my buddy who's been on dating apps forever, he sends me screenshots of these messages that he gets. And years ago, it used to be very obvious that it was a bot, right?
Right, yeah.
You talk to it, it didn't know what you were saying. It responded with something that had nothing to do with anything. Mm-hmm. Now, he sends me these things, and I go, I don't know if that's a real person or not. I mean, it sounds like a real person, and he's testing it, asking her questions, and she'll respond, it's hard to tell.
I think you're supposed to tell him to, like, say a word. Like, say potato.
Okay.
And that they just skip past it and talk about something else.
Okay.
That's what you're supposed to know.
Like they're supposed to record saying it or just...
No, like to actually
send me the
it.
Word.
But AI will do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've seen
like
people...
Like if I gotten good enough AI, now... If I just said say potato, it would say potato.
Yeah.
It would be weird.
Yeah. Right. I mean, because with AI now...
You can pick a voice and whatever.
Maybe it doesn't work anymore, but yeah.
It might not. I don't know that... It's really difficult. Also, we're getting older. Maybe young people would say, dude, it's so easy to spot AI. You guys weren't built for this world. And you're probably right. But a couple of OnlyFans customers, I guess former OnlyFans customers, two of them, are suing the platform. It's a class action lawsuit. They claim that they were defrauded because creators allegedly weren't interacting directly with them, but were instead employing agencies to impersonate the models they thought they were speaking to. They've got the plaintiff's names here. They're both from Illinois. They claim that they thought the creators they subscribed to, some of whom had hundreds of thousands of subscribers, were talking to them in direct messages, and sometimes there were video clips that they were sending them.
Yeah.
Both also say that if they'd known they weren't speaking directly to the creators themselves, they wouldn't have subscribed, or they would have paid less to subscribe. If OnlyFans stopped creators from using agencies to talk to fans, they would consider going back and spending money on the platform.
That's a good lawsuit.
It's a good class action, man. It is because
really
there is no disclaimer that says, hey, this was automatically generated, or hey, this is a guy in India that you're talking to. You know what I mean?
Well, you could do that for all those sites then. I mean, OnlyFans isn't the only one.
What are the other ones?
I mean, any sort of chat, live cam, sex thing, a ton of them just run a video.
Oh.
It's the same video. They make like 20 different videos, and they go and play it.
To look live?
Right, and then they have a guy, and then you're like, oh, show me whatever, and they go, yeah, baby, $20, and I'll do this, but they know what's coming up.
So wait, but
so
once
it's
you,
not live.
If
it's
you
not
pay
real.
And go private, then it's live?
A lot of times they'll have that private thing off.
Oh,
so
it's
just, go private,
it's just
right.
like a free thing there, sitting there, you can tip me if you want?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And so they'll say, I'll do this, you know, at... You know, this amount of money, I'll do this.
Okay.
But it's just a girl. And they know what she's going to do anyway. So, you know.
It's pre-recorded.
Right. But it's all pre-recorded. That's why if you go to them, a lot of them, like if they're live, a lot of girls will have the date on it. So it'll be like, you know, okay. Whatever.
I called up today.
Well, that might.
March 17, 2025. It's just on the bottom, so you know that she's there.
So the company that owns OnlyFans is called Phoenix Internet, F-E-N-I-X, Internet LLC, and Phoenix International Limited. So that's the lawsuits actually brought against them. The plaintiffs don't provide proof in the complaint that they were talking to chatters and not the creators themselves, which is interesting because I would think if this lawsuit, you go, here's screenshots, here's the evidence. But they say they became suspicious after subscribing, including realizing that a single individual could not be sending the number of direct messages or videos that generating revenue from 700,000 fans in one creator's case would require. I like that, too. It's like, I talked to him for a long time, and then I went, hey, wait a second. How could you be talking to me this much when you have 700,000 followers or whatever? And maybe it's true. Maybe you were horny, so your brain's mostly turned off. It's just the horny part of your brain that's on. You think this girl's talking to you, and you want to believe it, too. So, yeah, maybe you did actually believe it for a while. But even if you didn't, I still think you have a case by saying that you did. I think this is an amazing lawsuit. I don't know what OnlyFans is worth.
I wasn't sure. Like, it's still you know, it's not you. You said it's you.
You acting like it's you. I paid.
I paid to talk to you.
If it was free, it's different. But I paid to subscribe and talk to you.
And then you had somebody else do it. I feel like.
Why didn't
I think it would be like those psychiatrists or counselors on your phone.
Yeah.
If you signed up and tried to pay the counselor, and then they just sent some dude from India to answer your text. Like,
some 12-year-old.
So what's the difference between trying to...
And he tells Soko to quit crying.
What's the difference between that and trying to masturbate? It's the same thing.
Right.
Like, I paid you to talk to me, not this dude.
He helps me work through all my issues with my father's death, and then I turn out it's a 10-year-old.
From India, who's like, you're a pussy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It would be. I mean, I think this is... I don't know what OnlyFans or Phoenix or whatever is worth. Probably a lot, though. We've talked about them a lot since COVID.
If I pay for my Teladoc, and it's just... That's a video?
An AI video. That would be amazing. Like, let me see. Say ah, and you go ah. And like,
it's like, oh, hmm.
Interesting.
Well, I think you need antidepressants. And then just send you a prescription. All right, well.
I like your head.
I can't be wrong.
Right.
AI is like everybody in the world needs antidepressants.
It is sort of weird that you pay to subscribe, and once you pay to subscribe, you chat with these people, and... They don't let you know. There's no disclaimer that I've seen. Maybe it's in the fine print somewhere, but I don't know anything about a disclaimer that says you're not actually talking to this person. I would be willing to join this class action lawsuit, but I don't want to open up my OnlyFans for everyone to see everyone I've ever subscribed to.
Have you subscribed to a lot of people?
You know, it's just...
anyone we know?
We know that there's porn involved.
Have you ever subscribed to anyone we know?
No. I'm trying to think, do we know someone?
I don't know, but
there?
I'm sure.
Oh, no. Well... No, but I did see someone who worked here had an OnlyFans.
See, that's what I was saying.
And someone here subscribed to it and showed it to me.
That
me,
was
which
you?
Is good. And then it wasn't Snowcone. Who subscribed? I think it was our old buddy. Yeah, I'm not going to say his name, but he subscribed and he sent me stuff. But it was a girl that worked downstairs. Oh, and there was a girl that you've known for years. I've been friends with for years. She has an OnlyFans, and I did not pay for hers, but I did go and look at her. Free content. I may have paid at one point, but I don't think so. I definitely saw her OnlyFans.
I'd say Dolphin Shorts has one.
Oh, yeah. Did. You told me that, but I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I've just seen that she has the page, but I've never subscribed to it.
Yeah.
I should have asked her for a free membership. Can she do that? No. You know what?
I'm sure she can just lower the price for like 2 minutes while you subscribe. And
but then she's going to know that it's me. She'll know what my screen name is on there.
And what you're asking her to do.
And she might, exactly. No. Well, I'll just pay the $10.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo. I did want to tell you about this today because I don't believe this bitch for one second. I don't care how old and sweet she is. I'm not buying her bullcrap.
Okay.
She says that she won a $2.5 million lottery. She bought the ticket. She won the lottery. She put it in a jacket and gave the jacket away to charity. I've seen this. It's literally a Flintstones episode. And I've also seen it play out in the news before where someone says, I know I had the winning ticket and I accidentally gave it to the Goodwill. First of all, how do you know? You looked at the numbers first and you saw that it won. And so when you saw that it won for $2.5 million, you thought a good idea would be to stick it in a coat pocket? Like, give me the story here. I want to know how you knew it won, yet you didn't hold on to it. Because when these stories happen, what I wait for is a GoFundMe. If a GoFundMe starts for this woman, then I'm just going to be
because
angry.
You're not putting it in a coat pocket. If I got a lottery ticket and won $2.5 million and I didn't want to turn it in right away, I wanted to talk to a lawyer, an accountant, or whatever, right? I take that ticket and I put it in a safe deposit box. I go,
at the very least, you put it in your fire safe in your closet.
Right. I go, I don't even do that. I don't give me a chance to misplace it.
Yeah.
Or to be dumb and say, I put it in the fire safe, but I didn't.
Right.
You know, or fall, I don't want to deal with that. I'm going, I'm asking the guy, I need a safe deposit box, and I'm putting one thing in there.
Yeah.
And that's it. I know where it is.
This woman's 76 years old. She bought it from a grocery store.
How much is a safe deposit box?
I don't know. I don't have one anymore.
I don't have anything to put in there.
Me neither. That's what I don't have. I got my dad's stuff, but I keep it in a safe at my house. So,
I need something cool that, you know,
it would be cool to go in and pull out a safe deposit box.
My kids pull out, there's something in there.
Yes,
that's awesome.
There should be.
I don't have anything awesome.
I don't know. Did you sleep with a celebrity or anything?
Yeah, plenty of them.
Okay, well then, you know, put some proof
of that
in there.
I wrote them.
Yeah, something like that.
Guys, here's the celebrities I've slept with. That's all it is a piece of paper. Yeah.
Well, you could take a tape like a used condom to and pretend like that was the one.
Okay, I don't think I want to do that.
They know it's not you if there's a condom involved. But this woman says she won $2.5 million. Then she says she couldn't find the ticket. And then she discovered that she left the ticket in a jacket that she donated to the Vietnam Veterans of America, which is a nonprofit that collects donations needed for veterans around the U.S. So she says, look, I was stupefied. I don't get it.
I was stupefied. There's no words for it. It was like beyond expression. How can I get it back?
She says that even though it's lost now, she originally put it in the jacket specifically so that she wouldn't forget. So I don't know. You know, maybe she won $2.5 million and gave this jacket away. You're 76. You know, I mean, you guys have seen my memory. Would it really shock you if I did that? I suppose it's possible. I'm just very skeptical of these stories. That's not like winning $250. I lost a winning $100 scratchers ticket a couple months ago. Scratched it at the store, won $100. I scratched it on the way home from the store, won $100. I set it somewhere in the house, threw it away on accident. Threw away $100 on accident. I can't find the damn thing. $2.5 million. I don't set on the table.
No.
I don't put it in a coat pocket and then donate it. I just don't. But I'm not a 76-year-old woman. I don't know. I'll take it. And if I worked, by the way, they can look for it, but they said the chances of finding this are pretty slim.
But don't they would know if she bought it.
The thing is,
I feel like they can trace it. Her credit card or whatever.
If someone were to try and cash it, they can run the barcode and see when it was sold, and they would see that she was the one.
Can't they do that anyway without having the ticket?
The lottery told her, you need the ticket.
Oh, because it feels like we know when we sold it, at what store we sold it. They know that.
I would think so. Yeah, they tell you, like, hey, a winning ticket was sold. Before people ever realize they've won, you'll hear in the news, hey, 3 winning tickets were sold in last night's drawing, because the lottery knows exactly which numbers were printed and which ones came up. Right. And they go, yeah, there's 3 different winners this week, and they don't even know their winners yet.
Right. They know they're sold.
But for whatever reason, they said she has to have the ticket. Now, if they do know that she won, and she really did win $2.5 million, give her the goddamn money.
Right, if they know she won.
Give her the money.
If they have a picture of her at the register, and they know that it was, or she used a credit card or something.
Right.
Then, yeah.
Give her the money.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. Did you sign up for OnlyFans yet?
No.
God damn it. I thought you were going to sign up. That was the whole point.
I liked you.
Of this little experiment. If you sign up fast enough, I mean...
I don't have to download an app.
There's no app. I don't think there is an app. I think you just go to your web browser, go to OnlyFans.com, and then sign up for it. I wonder what the percentage. It was so big during COVID, and we got all these viral stories about the mom with the OnlyFans sticker on her car, mm-hmm. and then we got to see the mom. These women that were really good at promoting themselves, promoting their OnlyFans. And I have to admit, a lot of times I got curious. School teacher.
I have to stop you for a second.
Yeah.
Because I just got this text from Snowcone because we are looking for an exterminator.
Yeah.
And he says, this is the exterminator's info. I don't want to give anything away, but the first thing it says is his name, I guess, is Big Murderer.
I saw that was the subject title.
So is that, I mean...
He murders bugs.
That's what I assumed he meant.
Big,
thought it was weird
not
too.
Bug.
I know, but he meant to say bug murderer.
I think that's what I thought.
Probably meant,
probably
meant to say bug murder, but he could be the big bug murderer, you know. The bugs call me big murderer.
Whenever I call an exterminator, I'm like, I don't want to be like, hey, is
it was the subject
there?
Title, and I was
is this
really
big
confused
murder?
To open it.
Well, I got a text from our other exterminator. He said he takes care of termites and everything, too. So I haven't
have termites. Just have some ants in my bathroom.
I haven't texted him back yet.
But I put an
You're never going to get rid of them.
I put an ant trap down.
I know. I do it, too. But then they come back. These little suckers. I spray outside, inside with that big thing where you buy it at the hardware store and it's got the battery. It's like $30. You spray it all along the foundation. My house is small. I can keep most of the bugs dead, but not those little black ants. Mm-hmm. They just show up.
Yeah.
And then in the summertime, you get those fruit flies.
Yeah, you'll get that.
And those little flute fries, those, little, those traps those, work, though.
What do you call them? I didn't have them in Michigan.
The grass flies? The ones that look like big
stink
mosquitoes?
Bugs.
Yeah, well, we didn't used to have them here either. They're an invasive species.
Those are annoying.
They're annoying. And they just show, they'll just be sitting on your wall. Yeah, always just like chilling. One on the just one.
And it'll stay there forever.
Forever.
It won't move.
It's just one. I'll vacuum it up, and then like 3 weeks later, there's just one on the other wall.
So annoying.
And they don't move. Mm-mm. They just sit there.
It's on a TV or something.
You come up close to it, like you're going to smack it. It doesn't do a thing. Mm-mm. Yeah, we didn't have those when I was a kid. Okay. So that's kind of a new thing. But those are bad, too. I remember when you first moved here, and we were sitting out front smoking a cigarette. And Lazo's from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd lived other places, but he never lived here. And he just moved here within, I don't know, the last few months. And it was summertime, and we were sitting out front smoking cigarettes. And we had cicadas that summer, quite a few. And we had cicada
There's
killers.
Dead bugs on trees.
Yeah, Lazo wasn't used to that, which I had never thought. Like, wow, they don't experience this in Michigan. Mm-mm. So he'd already been through the whole, like, I can't believe you have these screaming insects that are completely covering these trees like
and
canopies.
Just flying around upside their, down and hitting you in
hitting
the head.
Hitting you in the face.
Like squealing like a pig. Like, they're, I mean, flying around, it hits me in the head. It's
yep.
big. I'm like, what is this? Like,
they're like broken drones.
You can't get right. Yes, that's exactly.
That's
what
how they
are.
Fly around, like broken,
broken
drones.
Dumb, loud drones.
Yeah, if the drone screamed and just got in your house and. But yeah, so Lazo had freaked out about that. We'd already been through this whole conversation about how weird that was and whatever. And then he was also commenting on how hot it gets here. He's like, plus it's 1,000 degrees.
Oh,
you got
man.
These things flying everywhere. So he went out front and we're smoking a cigarette. And at our old building at the time, a bunch of cicada killers had showed up. The big giant wasps that live in the ground, you know, and they are giant looking wasps. I mean, they're black and gold and they're the size of hummingbirds. And they're flying around and here comes one and Lazo goes, Jesus Christ, what the hell is that? I said, don't worry, it's just a cicada killer. He's like, a cicada killer? I was like, yeah, they won't sting. And I remember you were like, that thing looks like it stings. And I said, well, it technically could. But they don't want to bother you. They live in the ground. They're not aggressive at all. They go after the cicadas. And Lazo looked at me and goes, dude, no one told me when I moved here that I was moving to the outback in Australia.
No.
He's like, they got nothing on you. He's like, you guys have got these spiders that you say are going to kill me if
they
bite
like,
me.
They're like, hey, look at this black whatever it is. What's it called?
The brown recluse is very common.
Brown recluse.
Yeah, we have a lot of those
I took a picture when I moved here. I had a big spider web outside of my sliding door with a giant bug on it. At that point, I think maybe I used Facebook or whatever. I took a picture. I was like, what is this? People are like, do not touch it. It'll kill you. I'm like, it will kill me?
It won't kill
why?
You.
Like, if
but
it
don't touch it. Don't,
why,
touch
don't
it.
Bite it. It will kill you.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first moved here, I was like, why don't more people live here? Now,
I remember that.
It's a big city, you know, but when you move here from somewhere else, you don't really think about it. And you move here and, you know, it's Kansas, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're not from here. You don't realize it's Kansas City, Missouri. It's mm-hmm. just, well, I'm moving to Kansas. And I know it's Missouri and Kansas, but I guess I'm moving to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And that you just kind of have an idea in your head of what Kansas is like. And then you have an idea of your head and what Kansas City is like. And you're like, I know it's close to that. You know, that's mm-hmm. where I'm going to be. And all right.
Mid-sized,
and I thought to myself, like, yeah. And it'll be like, you know, I don't know, Cleveland or something, maybe a little bit smaller, but, you know, it'll be fine.
Same vibe.
It'll be fine. It'll just be a Midwestern city. So you get here, one, you land at the airport, and there's cows out there. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about.
And it's 100 miles away from the city.
But when I get here, like, you know, I go to concerts, I go to bars, I downtown. I'm like, man, there's like three different distinct kind
of
downtown
areas.
And
when you first moved here, you got that apartment downtown.
Yeah.
Like in Midtown. And you were like, man, I can't believe how cheap this place is.
Right.
Like,
it was
this is
cheap.
Nice.
Why don't people live here more? Why isn't this big? Why isn't this? I mean, it's beautiful. Why isn't it
huge?
As big as Chicago. Like people should live here. And I remember driving home from the casino and it was like 3:15 in the morning. And you go by the bank and it tells you the time and the temperature. And I remember it was like 3:17 a.m. 104 degrees. And I was like, well, that's why no one lives here.
I remember.
I lived in Florida all over. I'm like, it is hotter than, it's hotter here than it is in Florida.
Yeah.
And there's no water anywhere
there
to go
is.
To.
There it is.
You have to rent an apartment and go in their pool and just lay there with 1,000 other people. Like, it's so hot. It is hot. And when I told someone, I'm like, look, man, I've lived all over Florida. I've lived in Jacksonville. I lived in Tampa. I lived in Key West. I've lived everywhere. It is hotter. And he'd be like, no, it isn't. And every day we would look at the temperature. He's like, oh, yeah, it's hotter here.
Yep.
Every
yep.
day.
I remember you came home because you moved here like in the spring or something like that. So you missed the gray winter, right? You didn't see that. Yeah. So you got here right when the weather was nice in that window.
It was beautiful.
And I remember you loved that apartment. You're like, it's so cheap. Great. It's really cool. It's, you know, it's in the city. And then when it got hot, I remember Laszlo saying, like, man, that AC in my apartment, I thought that AC was great. It's like ice cold when I got here. He's like, I just last night just laid on the floor with this AC on because it's so hot that the AC can't do anything about it.
I had never heard in my life, and you know this now, it's totally common. I had never heard this before where my HVAC guy comes in. He's like, oh, yeah, everything's working fine. I'm like, it's 82 degrees. And he's like, oh, it's knocking 25 degrees off.
Yep.
I'm like, that's all. He's like, you can't do anymore. It's giving her all she's got. And I'm like, can I get a bigger one? Like, what do I got to do? Buy a second one?
Yeah,
like,
three of them, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, so it gets so hot here that you just kind of have to be like, yeah, you can't cool it down. You can get it to probably 80.
Yeah.
Like, what?
If it, yeah.
That
yeah,
was unless, never a thing
unless
where
you
I
have
grew
multiple
up.
ACs.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in the wintertime, my thermostat is set at 64 all winter long.
Yeah.
It feels comfortable in the house. I get used to it. I'm usually have a long sleeve shirt on, maybe a sweatshirt. But yeah, it's 64 degrees. In the summertime, my thermostat is set at 78 degrees all summer long.
Yeah.
And that's a huge shift. But you have to do it. You have to learn to adjust.
I've never heard of anything like that.
The weather here is extreme.
People who work on air conditioning go, yeah, that's as good as it gets.
Right. Unless like you want another one.
I'm like, what? It doesn't make it, like, you know, I grew up in Michigan. Like, I think it got to 82.
Right.
So, you know, we turn on the AC at 82.
Yeah, the 100 degrees
nobody
at night.
My dad ever said it can't get colder.
Right.
Like, that just wasn't a thing. You make it as cold as you want.
The 100 degrees at night was
it's unbelievable.
Was the thing. I remember you seeing that on the Banks
I've clock. Never seen it before. 103 or something at night. Like,
yeah.
And it's not like, you know, at least in Arizona, they can be like, oh, it's dry heat. It doesn't feel like it. This is just hot,
and
wet
humid.
Heat. Right.
So it's humid
it's
like
impressive.
Orlando. Yeah, but the water's way further away than Orlando.
Right,
you think the water's far away
and
in Orlando.
There's no Disney to go to Austin.
Exactly. And that's when you realize, oh, okay, I get why the rent's affordable.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, well, at least, you know, it gets so hot here. I guess I'm just further west in my head than I think. Like, to me, you know, I think, growing up, I kind of thought, well, I know it's west of St. Louis, and St. Louis feels closer to Detroit
got
than
the
me.
Arch,
it's like
gateway to the
St.
West.
Louis, you know, Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, Toledo, Pittsburgh. That's right.
Like that cluster.
And then I think just a little bit, not far, is Kansas City. Like, you're not really in our area, but you're close. You know what I mean? You're like, now growing up, I'd be like, well, Kansas City is the first place where you start to go out to Denver, Tulsa, that, you know, there. Yeah. And then you get here, so you're like, okay, well, it's so hot that the winters will be, they'll be fine. I'm just further west in my head than I think. You're like, you have Michigan winters.
Yeah.
What is happening? Just cold as hell.
Just 25 degrees below for 2 weeks this winter. And that's, but
you know,
I'll
tell you what, you know why I stay here? The people.
The people.
The people
what
are great,
get,
man.
What
I
get
love this city.
Is Kansas
I don't want to ever
people.
Move. I've lived everywhere. I've lived, I did like North Carolina. The girls are beautiful.
Same in South
Carolina. And the weather's perfect. So I will say North Carolina was, I mean, if you're a guy in your 20s and you get to go live in North Carolina for a little bit, do it. I loved Key West, but, you know, you can't do that
so
much
really
when you're older.
There. Yeah.
You know, it's like every night you're just getting hammered at a bachelorette party. And then I always say this, like you are, yeah, you're in a really small city, but they bring in 100,000 people every Friday and they want to party.
Yep.
They're there on vacation. So you're just in every, you go to the same bars, but it's never the same people.
Right,
it was a wonderful
right.
city to live in as a young guy, but you know you can't do it forever. You're like, Jesus Christ,
no,
I'm
you're
die
living
here.
In that small one-bedroom apartment or whatever.
Just partying constantly. You can't. There's nothing else to do.
Right. But no, here, everybody here experiences the same thing. We all survive the same winters.
Yep.
And you learn as a Kansas Cityan, at least for me, and I know I'm not the only one, to start to love that summer heat. 101 degrees at 3 in the morning, I'll take it. When I go to leave the house and I'm in a t-shirt and shorts and it's 2 in the morning, I'm running to the gas station, I'm working up a sweat, I love it. I love that feeling because I need to store up as much heat as I can for when the winter comes and all that gray sets in. Because at least it's sunny here. In the spring and summer fall, the sun is out.
And in the winter.
And the
difference here in the winter, Detroit is take the worst days. And Pittsburgh's the same way when I lived there. Take the worst days here, just gray and miserable,
mm-hmm.
and then make that all winter. make it longer.
That's how I feel. Winter is here. It's gray all winter.
There's like a Wednesday for no reason. You wake up and I come in and we've both got t-shirts on. Like it's 70.
Well, yeah.
Like you why? You don't get that day. In Kansas City, you get that like 6 days in the winter where it's just, I don't know why it's
85 84. Degrees. Right. Like, okay. Yeah.
Well, everybody wears shorts. It's that day. You don't get that. So, but here are the people, man. That's why I stay. I lived in Seattle and you know, I liked it. You didn't. But, you know, when I had a kid, I want to raise my kid in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I want him to meet those people. I want him to be around those people.
Seattle had cool stuff. It's just it was gray all the time. And yeah, you get I guess small winter
it didn't bother
summer.
Me. I was just like, it's just gray all the time. It's just longer. You know, for me, longer. I was just like, well, settle in.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, so it didn't bother
me. And the people forget about it.
Yeah, people
They're
were horrible.
Not the same at all.
The people were horrible.
Every person we met there that we ran into and liked... Well, the ones that we liked, it turns out they were from the Midwest.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm from Indianapolis, so I'm from St. Louis. It's like, well, no wonder.
Right.
No wonder we like you.
Yep. The Church of Laszlo. Yo.
Yo. That's it.
That's it. Good
Gentlemen,
show.
Good show. Have fun watching whatever you're going to watch tonight. Yeah. Bosch 5.0 or whatever. Snow Cone, what are you doing at night?
Man, is there a new Bosch show?
You watch anything good?
No.
Nothing?
Not really.
I don't know. You said yesterday that there was like a Bosch spinoff, Bosch's Buddies or whatever.
Bosch Legacy, but they only released 4 episodes. I thought maybe you knew there was a 5th one.
Oh, no. You've already seen them all?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. I'm caught up on Bosch, all 8 seasons.
Mm. Yeah.
Are you going to start?
Yeah, I might. I might start it tonight. I don't know. Once I get in, it's just, I like being in the zone, but starting something new is a little overwhelming.
Although this one, it has so much.
Yeah.
That I don't think you can... you don't have to feel bad because you're like, oh, it's got 8-9 seasons. Like, I don't really ever feel like I have to catch up.
No.
When it's that far ahead, like if it's 2 or 3 seasons, I'm like, all right, I got to binge this so that I'm now caught up with everyone. But this, like, who are you going to talk to Bosch about? It's been on since 2014. So you don't feel.
That's how I was with Peaky Blinders
right.
in 2013.
You can't bring it up in conversation.
But what I liked about Peaky Blinders was that each season was so short. There's 6 episodes. And I thought, that's so great. I want to find another series where each season is only 6 episodes and they wrap the whole, you know, season storyline up in 5 or 6 episodes.
That's
love
Bosch.
That.
Maybe
is
8.
It?
Maybe 8. But,
yeah.
You know, they'll wrap everything
8's
up. Nothing
common.
Really carries. Nothing carries over, really.
Yeah. I just like those shorter
seasons. I mean, a little bit,
seasons.
But not much.
I like those shorter seasons.
They also do the that lawyer one, whatever it is. The
Which
Lincoln
one?
Lawyer.
Yeah, that was like a network show that they picked up later.
It was on
though.
Netflix.
I know. I think they bought it because the network like maybe didn't want it. You have to look into that, but it felt like a network show to me. I watched a little bit of it because
I like
the book and I like the movie with McConaughey, of course. But the show looked at. But they may have redone it too. I'm not sure. You know what? The bottom line is there's something to watch. Oh, you know what there is? Guy Ritchie's got that new show on Paramount. Mobsters or Mobtown or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I need to
with
watch
Tom
it.
With Tom Hardy
it
and Pierce Brosnan. That's what we'll watch tonight.
Wait,
yes.
Is it either like a whole season?
I don't know how much they released,
Mob
but it's some
Land.
Of it's out. Mobland,
yeah.
Yes. And I watched the Seth Rogen show on Apple, and it's
Was
great.
It
it's
is?
Great.
It's about him being in the studio?
He becomes a studio head. Yeah, there's 2 episodes out, another one, I think, maybe today or tomorrow or something.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's good.
There's
You'll
a lot
like it.
To do.
Plenty to watch.
All right. Well, I hate to say it, but good show, Val Kilmer. Heat is one of my all-time favorite movies. Stay positive, kids.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
Men, when was the last time you felt unstoppable? Low testosterone could be draining your energy, strength, and sex drive. At Beaumont Health and Wellness, we help men reclaim their power with hormone replacement therapy, weight loss, and IV hydration. Get peak performance with our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to fire up your system. Beaumont Health and Wellness. Age is just a number. Desire is forever. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.